Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. The death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the Growing Conservative Conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. You can find the Patriot Journalist Network at www.patriotjournalist.com. Of course, also visit the show's website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Check out our different pages, including our Give page, which has some wonderful organizations on there, and charities that can use your help. And also check out the new sponsor and affiliate page, where you will see a new affiliate to Bard's Logic Political Talk, and that is the Gun Go Sun Stove. So when you're on the go, use the Go Sun Solar Stove. And you can go to the affiliate page and check out more about that. And by purchasing something, you're not only helping yourself, especially with the product, you're also helping us here on Bard's Logic Political Talk.com or Bard's Logic Political Talk. And tonight we will have on our show folks talking about the past weekend events at Operation American Spring. And we will hear from our contributor Dan Gray and Kelly Mordecai. And we may also hear from James Neighbors, and I'm sure Cindy Todd as well. And we will discuss Operation American Spring with those who were there to come hear the successes and stories from the event and what to expect in the future. And we'll also cover some of the liberal lies and even some conservative misconceptions about the event, such as Glenn Beck's apparent lack of understanding about what Operation American Spring was all about. And someone who was there and reported to us live from the event this weekend, this past Saturday, on the special edition of Bard's Logic Political Talk we had this past Saturday. It is in the archive, so folks can check that out. But we will bring on Dan Gray. Thank you very much, Dan, for calling to the show. How are you, sir?
Oh, actually, to be honest with you, I called in sick today. I'm feverish. I was, even though I'm against royalty, and I won't get too graphic, I was on the throne a good portion of the day.
Well, no, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but I'm sure all of the listeners have been there at one time or another in their lives. So if I speak out of turn tonight or sound just a little goofy, I'll put it down to a high fever that the aspirin hasn't kicked in yet. But other than that, I'm great. I'm enthusiastic, and I'm very pleased that things are working out the way they are, even though a lot of people are daunted. And they're confused, and I'm not pleased about those things. I'm pleased that we're moving in the right direction. We had an election yesterday in Pennsylvania, our primary election, and the results were not great for Liberty. We had a few wins, but in every single place that somebody, and I'm not talking party here, because there were people of various parties who are in these primaries, Democrat and Republican. We've got independents coming up, in the general election. But every single place, they increased the awareness. They pushed the goalposts in the right direction. We're not going to win this overnight, folks. And before we go any further, I want to just deal with one misconception about numbers. It's true that we were hoping for 10 million people, and we still are. And it's true that Operation American Spring realistically thought, based on the people who said that they were going to be there, I did some good estimates, and I've done this before. I really thought we were going to get like 2 million people on that first day, and it turned out there's some people that estimated as low as 1,000. I did a crowd count of not just the main gathering, but the different – I had a good vantage point from the Washington Monument, and I do know how you do crowd estimates by picking a geographical area, counting the actual numbers in there, and then simply estimating how many geographical areas they are and multiplying. It's pretty simple. I figured somewhere around 6,000 total in attendance on the first day, which was Thursday, and which started off rainy and got hot. I mean, it was a rough day. But even though 6,000 is not that many people, because not as many said they would show up did, the people who did show up were so impressive. James Neighbors, who's going to be on the program a little later, like myself and like so many others, he's got some physical issues. And my God, I mean, after a couple of days, I'm surprised he could walk. It's a shame what the car accidents and whatnot will do to a person, or illnesses to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my good friends, Dot, came from Pennsylvania in her motorized scooter, in her wheelchair, because she's not walking real well. And we had people there who have had heart bypasses and who have pacemakers, and people who are, I mean, in sad shape physically, but very, very, very strong spiritually and for patriotism. But even though it wasn't the biggest start, it was a start. And every single day we've had people, and it dropped off and it dropped off, and now it's starting to build back. We're up, according to the latest figures, to approximately, and this is a pretty good figure. I wasn't there today, so I can't say this with any firsthand knowledge, but it looks like around 2,500 people are there right now in Washington, D.C. Of course, they've gone back to their respective beds and campgrounds and youth hostels and whatnot for the evening. And there's a whole bunch more people coming down for the weekend. And that brings up another controversy, because with the topic of your show, you're talking about, you know, some of the misconceptions in the liberal media, but it's also on our side and internal as well.
Yeah.
And I'll take full responsibility for that. You can blame some of it on the fog of war, as they say, where you don't always know what's going on because there's so much going on, and how do you get reports on it all? But the fact remains that within the Patriot movement, we have yet to achieve the unity that I see on the ground at OAS in Washington. In Washington, I see anonymous people who were at the Occupy rallies who have, some of them, you know, might have piercings and tattoos, and they may be atheists. Some of them seem to be, some don't, talking with Southern Baptist preachers and shaking hands and having really intensely good conversations about the vast majority of things that they do agree on, things like what Operation American Spring's about, which is restoring constitutional liberty and curtailing those criminals in office who break their oath. That's a criminal offense. They have the commitment to do what needs to be done so that we can avoid any sort of violence, either from the state or some sort of civil insurrection. Those are not good things. Those are not what we want, but I don't know of a nation that's gone down this path that didn't get one or the other if they didn't solve it peacefully. So we have kids there. This is great. I can say kids because I'm 53, but because my daughters, they're my daughter's age, you know, they're like in 20s and even teens. We're looking at young people who are really pretty aware of what's going on, which is very heartwarming. They're paying attention. And we've handed them crap. Sorry for the almost curse word there, but we didn't hand them an America full of promise and full of all kinds of opportunity. We handed them an America with leaders that lie and no jobs and not much chance of making their way in whatever way they want to make to make their own mistakes and get somewhere in life. We cheated them of that. We allowed those idiots in the state houses and in the national capital to do that. And so we're responsible, us baby boomers, for allowing that to happen. I saw black folks, one of the major preachers for this is Reverend Wiley. He happens to be a little bit more endowed with melanin content in his skin than I am, although after all that sun, I'm getting kind of dark there. We don't care. We don't care if he's black or if he's white. He's an American, and an amazing speaker. Even those people who were there who are avowed atheists were moved by the just deep spirituality of his experience and his words. They didn't have to agree with the particular brand of religion that he has that's from his heart. And that's the beautiful thing is I saw him speaking with a couple of guys who were clearly not members of his congregation, and yet he was respecting them because it's their choice. It's their choice. It's America's First Amendment. And I will remind people who say that Occupation America, or excuse me, Operation American Spring is some kind of a insurrection, is some kind of a revolt. Mm-hmm. Remember, folks, the First Amendment is not just freedom of speech. It's freedom of religion. And it's not just freedom of religion. It's freedom of the press. And it's not just freedom of the press. If you'll dig out your constitutions, you'll see that it's freedom of association and petition for grievances. That's all this is. Look, like most of the listeners out there, I'm sure at one time or another, maybe many times, you've signed petitions for causes. You've tried to get the people in charge to listen. How many times have you seen that work? And the reason is not because the process is wrong. It's because they won't listen. Well, we want to make D.C. listen. So we are an ongoing human petition. And before I turn over the mic, I just want to mention one other controversy. And I'm kind of possibly guilty about this. I say possibly because I'm not sure if I'm wrong or not. I spoke on Friday to one of the major chapter chairs for Rolling Thunder, which is a tremendous bikers organization of veterans primarily and those who support veterans' causes and the MIAs and the POWs and those killed or missing in action and those wounded and being treated so shabbily by our VA, a great group of guys and gals. And I know this man. I know him personally. He's got pictures with himself and Sarah Palin and Ted Cruz and all these other people. And he rode up from Florida for the day to Washington and was riding back. Apropos, not much. I did compliment him on having a rear end of iron. I'm in between bikes right now, and I do ride. But, boy, that I don't know if I could make Florida and back in one day. He says he does it all the time. And he said that the bikers were coming.
Wow.
And he said that they were his chapter is all he was speaking for. And since we spoke privately, I'm not mentioning his name. Now, I'll take this responsibility on myself. People can believe me or not. But he said that they're coming in support of Operation American Spring, of OAS. And I mentioned that, and I noticed that there was a lot of communication with bikers organizations because we have militias and we have occupiers and we have anonymous and we have, you know, churchgoers and we have lawyers and we have, you know, business types. Every single sort of patriot was out there on the mall and still is. But Bikers are mobile, and they're pretty loud, and I just like them because I am one. And so there was a controversy today, and I addressed this on Facebook, where was Rolling Thunder coming? Yes. Were they coming? And all these other groups, Sons of Liberty Riders and et cetera, in support of OAS or just because it's Memorial Day? And the answer is as follows. Maybe. The actual Rolling Thunder events do not begin today, but the bikers are already showing up in droves. They are individuals right now, and it is my understanding from the personal reports that I've received from people that I do know and trust who are there on the ground that many of the bikers today were coming up and saying, I am personally in support of Operation American Spring. So of the 750 to 1,000 to a million bikers that will be there over the course of this Memorial Day weekend, and those numbers are actually conservative and based on prior runs that these guys have made, there will be some percentage who are there because they also support American Spring. There are also a number of chapters within these various national biker organizations that have apparently said, we're there and we endorse American Spring. There are others who have not. I am not personally aware of any who say we don't like them, and that's a good thing. And the national organizations like Rolling Thunder are not incorporated. They are 501c organizations. Now, that means they can't take partisan political stands, which does free them if they chose to take a nonpartisan political stand. They can say anything they want about an issue or another group. But I actually, if anyone from the National Rolling Thunder group is listening, I'm not giving you a pass here. I'm asking you specifically, don't endorse us. The national group is an umbrella group of all of the other individual groups. First of all, those individual groups are comprised of people who live in the same area, who ride together and work together. Many are family members of each other. If they make that choice, that's a choice that comes from the grassroots of that movement, from that biker club. But if national makes a choice, that's like what we've got in Washington, kind of top down. What's more, while there's nothing wrong with the American Spring message, that's why I'm on staff and working for it, the message of Rolling Thunder is about our veterans specifically. And I don't want them to muddy that up. I don't want them to mix that up. I don't want people out there who are not political to see some news report and go like, what's wrong with these guys? What are they, some kind of radicals or something? Let it be the individual's choice and the choice of the individual groups. So because there is some confusion about that, I may have made a mistake, and I posted on there in a number of places that if I'm wrong, I am sorry. I do not wish to mislead anyone, certainly not intentionally. And while I hope I'm not wrong, if I am, I won't blame anybody else just because I mistook information or whatever. Anyway, so there's plenty more, but you've got a big show to fill. So, Bob, over to you.
Well, yeah, I definitely wanted to talk about that. I had some folks, have conveyed to me, some of their concerns and, about what this weekend. And, we're talking about liberal lies is one of those, which, because I had someone ask me, oh, well, where did the liberals lie? Well, one of the things that I'm sure you've heard is that, while you guys said that, they were hoping to have, over time, 10 million folks down there, they were inflating it as much as saying that there were 30 million, they talked about 30 million people down there, which, of course, true. I don't think Colonel Riley's ever said to be 30 million. And two, if you think about it, if they have 30 million people down on, down in Washington, D.C., that's like having almost 10% of the total population in one city.
Bob, there are a number of people online who are really, really good fact checkers, and pains in my you-know-what, and I thank them for that because, accuracy is more important than the fact that they're causing me a little personal pain, and you know who you are out there. You really do. Thank you very much. In any case, we're not in a bar. We're not having a discussion over beers. We're not going to have a fist fight and make up later like we used to in the old days when I was a young man. So I'll just accept the fact that there are people who will pick apart every possible detail of everything that's going on and hold you to account for it. While I think that is a good thing, I think we're losing sight of the big picture sometimes, and not just with American Spring, with all the elections out there, with all the different issues out there. And I've said so many times that every single issue is important. Even if you support American Spring or any larger group, don't give up the cause of your heart, whether it's, you know, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Fourth Amendment, whatever it is. That is an important fight, and I wouldn't ask you to sacrifice that fight, because that might be the one that wins, that pushes through that barrier that we've got with the mainstream media and people's apathy. But these people are going and picking everything apart. I've experienced this in so many organizations over the years, non-political organizations too. But I would remind people that there's a larger point at stake. And it was brought up in the form of a little parable, a little story I saw on Facebook today. I'm not sure, because I am a little feverish, honestly, guys. But they posted just a little story, and it said that what's going on here is like a husband and wife arguing loudly about something stupid. And if you're married or have family members, I'm sure you've been there too. Meantime, your kid's in the backyard yelling because they're drowning in the swimming pool. That's what's going on, folks. We're dealing with details that are important, but we're missing the big picture of what's most important. What's most important is not your issue. It's not my issue. It's the underlying issue, which is all that American Spring is about, and really what all of your issues boil down to, which is the Constitution, a limited government that guarantees our natural liberties and no tyranny. If we have that, folks, we'll have plenty of time to debate all the issues. I like Anonymous. I don't agree with everything they say. I like Occupy. Yes, I don't like the behaviors of that happen there, but I like a lot of those people. They're nice people. Their hearts are in the right place. They're smart. But I don't agree with everything they say. I work with Heritage Foundation. I work with Americans for Prosperity. I work with Pennsylvanians for Union Reform and Pennsylvania Right to Work, and, you know, all kinds of very, very traditional sorts of mainstream, very sober, suit wearing. You know, we do things with lawyers and with all these different issues. Even Second Amendment is not just malicious, folks. I work with lawyers on this issue, and we'll be able to agree to disagree and to politely debate all of our issues, provided we retain our liberty. If we lose our liberty, every one of your issues fails. It fails. There will be decisions made only by an elite cadre of unelected, unaccountable people, whether they're in Washington or your state capital or Wall Street or wherever they happen to be, and they will decide for you, and you will have no say in it. And whatever your issue is, if it's a constitutional issue, I guarantee you lose. So if you're not interested in losing that forever, then you have to stop fighting amongst yourselves. You have to agree that you're either going to support the efforts of another group because they're not doing harm to the issue, or to at least leave them alone. And if you have disputes, I personally don't mind if somebody wants to call me out on a mistake I may have made, and I make them all the time publicly, and I will, even if you call me out privately, if I made that mistake, I will fess up publicly. My reputation for being an honest man is more important to me than any kind of reputation for being right all the time. I'm not infallible. However, most of the time, you can keep these disputes off of the eyes of all these other people who are wavering, who are on the brink, who can't decide whether they should take that step and actually join us or not. When they see nothing but turmoil and they see people arguing over BS, that doesn't make them want to join now, does it? And if you're going to suggest to me that they're sunshine patriots and they're not winter soldiers and that they're not really committed, well, guess what? If that's all we got, we've got a really hard road to go. I will take any support from any ally that I can, and I will support any ally in any way that I can. And that means even the ones I don't agree with 100%, even the ones who I think are going about it in a way that doesn't make sense to me, if they're not doing harm if they're not committing violent acts, if they're not breaking windows or defacing property or hitting people over the head or shooting anybody, and they're working for constitutional liberty, they deserve my support and will have it. And they deserve your support too, folks. Now, you can support Operation American Spring or not. That's your choice. This is not a controlled event. You want 10 million people? I'll tell you what. You give me a budget, and you give me access to the A-list, and I'll get you 10 million people in Washington, D.C. with no more than 3 weeks to a month of promotion. All I need is McGraw and his wife, Faith Hill. I'm not sure if they're really with it. I know we can get Nugent, but maybe we can get Aerosmith. They might be too liberal. But I'm sure there are other groups. We make it a big rock concert. While we're at it, why don't we get James Woods and John Voight and a bunch of other big Hollywood stars, and we'll have some great speakers. Maybe Ted Lee or Ted Cruz and Mike Lee can show up and a few other really top-notch political types. And everyone will come there, and they'll sit in their chairs, and they'll watch the big screen and listen to the great music and speeches. They won't really learn anything new because they already know it. And then they'll go home and go, wasn't that great? And that's not enough. What's happening in Washington at American Spring is what I see happening on a smaller level at all of these different events that I've been to, whether they're seminars out at Penn State University, you know, in my area, or they're political meetings or meetings for Campaign for Liberty or Americans for Prosperity, any of the 9-12 groups, little, you know, Lehigh Valley is near me, or Lehighton. Pottsville. These are small towns and small cities, and there'll be 100 people there, sometimes more. And we connect with each other, and we get a chance not just to educate each other, but to find out what each other's strengths and weaknesses are so that we can share those strengths and help support those weaknesses. Now, there are a lot of people who made it to Washington who have a lot worse off situations than some of your listeners. Now, I'm not saying that makes your listeners cowardly or lazy, because they've got other things that they need to do in their lives too. But there are people who have the commitment to show up. And even if you don't show up in Washington, you should be showing up in your own local community. If you're not doing that, I really don't have a lot of sympathy for you when you complain about the way things are. Because it doesn't require your gas money. It doesn't require much time. You're not meeting strangers. You're going to a local group with your friends and neighbors about a concern that is directly yours. And you'll find that if you do that, you might want to be a representative of those concerns and go to a regional group, a regional event, participate in a regional action. And it isn't all rallies. There's plenty of other things you can do. A big part of what was going on here in Pennsylvania for the last month and a half was people gathering petition signatures and putting up signs and going door to door and explaining what their candidacy meant and why they were supporting another candidate, things like that. These actions have meaning. The more you do, the more you're going to need to do and want to do. And for those of you out there, and I know there's some of you out there, because of your health or your family or your job or whatever it is, you're maxed out. You've given all that you have to give. It's not enough. And I know you're not superhuman, so there's a real easy solution. If you've given everything you have to give, then what you need to do is find somebody else. Because you're a leader. Whether you like it or not, you went first. That makes you a leader. Now, I went down to American Spring Thursday before it started. I was there when it started Friday. I was there Saturday. I was there till conclusion of daily events on Sunday. I came back, and Monday we held a rally, which was televised. Somebody's trying to get the link, in Harrisburg at my state capital in Pennsylvania. And a couple of our speakers, we had a pretty good slate, and some showed up. And as always, something goes wrong. A couple of our speakers couldn't make it. One got stuck in traffic. It happens. And the other guy, he had an issue where he had to get a kid to an emergency room. And I certainly wouldn't say that what we were doing was more important than that. That's probably the most important thing any of us can do, is take care of our children. So we had a fellow there who I've known for a while. He's a hardworking Marine. Sorry, there's no ex-Marines. He's a Marine veteran. And he's a militia member. But first, he's a family man and a very hardworking man. Really nice guy. Everybody really likes him. Just friendly, and will help you anytime you need something. He's right there to just like pitch right in. And that's what I asked him to do. I told him, I don't know how many events ago that I had run into him at, that I thought he had something. Has he ever considered speaking? And he said, no, not really, and get stage fright. And yeah, most people, their biggest fear is getting up in front of an audience and actually speaking. Well, I made him do it. I just made him do it. I grabbed him and I said, are you going to do it? Oh, I don't know. Are you going to do it? Oh, I don't think so. Are you going to do it? I can do it. And he got up there. And, boy, I hope I get the video, because at the beginning, and I'll say this because I can make fun of him. People make fun of me. It was a little bit funny with him hemming and hawing for the first, like, minute. It was just so awkward. But then it didn't get funny. Then it got profound. And his natural talent came out because he got on fire. He was talking about things he knew and about what mattered to him, about his family, about his job, about his community, about what the lawmakers have done to us by not following the basic laws of the land, our Pennsylvania Constitution, as well as the U.S. Constitution. And he was on fire. And when it came down, I shook his hand, I said, a star is born. And he was pretty embarrassed, but that's my way, and that should be your way of doing more. Folks, I'm doing what I can, and it seems like a lot to some, but to me it's not nearly enough, and I'm about maxed out. That's why I got sick. That's why I'm
mm-hmm.
I don't get sick, but I just did too much, and my wife is mad at me because she says, I told you, and she was right, as she always is. What can you say? So my answer is, I'm going to bring other people along, other writers, on our own show. Harriet Brinker is an awesome lady who does awesome research, who's just so, not just from her heart, but her mind. She's, when she posts something online, I know it's been vetted. I can trust it. I don't have to do all that time-consuming research on that one story because I know she's already
mm-hmm.
done that. So I helped her write a story, get it published.
And she's listening right now, and I am getting a report from someone. He says he's going to be calling in
awesome.
A little bit. He's saying he's having some to hearing the show. He made a comment, and I'm just going by what he says. He said here in the comments, and let me scroll up, says, net neutrality strikes. Heard the intro song just fine, but the stream suddenly dropped, and I don't know all these technical stuff. I'm not a very technical person either. Dropped 28.8K, became choppy, and stalled completely at 6 minutes, which may explain a few things that I'm seeing right now. And then he said there's good connectivity with other servers, but your stream still constricted, even when I shut all other feeds down. Gets any worse, we'll be down to telex, and he said the sarcasm. So he'll be – so they used to do this in the USAF experience with ping plus trace route. So
I think
he said it'll be calling, so I think that may be him on the line. So let's go ahead and open up his mic. Thank you very much for calling to the show. How are you?
Yeah, it's me. I'm the trace route guy.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling to the show. It sounded like you were saying there was some kind of difficulty hearing the show, which could explain some things here. But for those who are listening on the archive, which, of course, is hearing this at the recording, go ahead and share the link with other folks so they can hear the archive as well, either on Facebook or through emails or on your Twitter. Send it out to all your Twitter followers. That would be great. Or if you're listening to it, also copy and paste the link and put it on your Twitter message and then put listening to Bard's Logic and then put the link in there. And if you can fit it, hashtag PJNets or hashtag Operation American Spring. So go ahead, Randy, your mic's open.
Oh, yeah, I was just noticing that I'm on high speed, and I was, signed onto the show, and the intro music played, just normally, and then suddenly it got very tight and very restrictive. The feed was chopping up, and it just completely dropped out after a while. It just quit trying. So I said, you know, this might have something to do with the FCC's net neutrality thing.
Well, you know, it might not be specific official rules, but let's face it, folks, we've seen this happen before. We've seen, and we didn't get into this in the first part of the show, but we've seen misinformation and news blackouts. Now, I'm not saying OAS right at the moment is some kind of great news that should be headlines across the country, but with very few exceptions, there's been almost no mention in anything that's close to a mainstream media outlet, and those that do mention it have said things that are just outlandish. I've seen video. I've seen YouTube video that I know is real because it's really Washington. I recognize a lot of the faces that are there, and you can tell what day it is because these people are honestly posting what this is what I saw today, this is what I did today, this is where we were today. I trust that. But I've seen video. I don't know where they got the footage. Maybe it was the Ukraine or Venezuela or something, but, you know, there's cars on fire and tracer rounds flying and people screaming and running in panic. And I'm thinking, where the hell was this? And yet, there's people who believe this stuff. I'm online right now, and there's people who are just quibbling over every stinking detail, and some of them are misrepresenting and saying, oh, it's got to be a plot. It's got to be a plot. I swear there's got to be. The government is trying to set us up. There's going to be some kind of a giant, you know, right now, if it stays small, which I'm hoping it doesn't, but, you know, who can predict the future? If it stayed small, ask yourself, folks, why would the government take a mall full of how many thousands of people, school kids, everyone else, and suddenly start mowing down people with machine gun fire? Really? In Washington? On the mall?
Right, I don't see that happening. And then, you know, gosh, Glenn Beck, he certainly didn't help matters any. I've got an article here I could possibly read later, but I think he definitely had a misconception about what Operation Spring was about. I mean, he's talked about, you know, violence. Now, I know there was a comparison, and I will make one critique. It's perhaps naming the event or, you know, Operation American Spring and then comparing it with maybe what happened over in Egypt may have, it may turn out not to have been a wise decision because of the, you know, people try to make, you know, comment, you know, and try to compare, you know, the two events, trying to see if, you know, do it
well, you
that
know,
way.
But,
and I
in
think that's
Iceland,
what Glenn Beck tried
they,
to do.
They, in Iceland, they had a peaceful revolution with gatherings in the streets, and it worked. In fact, it's worked three times now because the government that they got ousted, which was replaced by another one, same constitution, just different folks at the helm, they weren't satisfactory either. So they're on their third set. People who think that things are going to be solved in one day or one weekend are kind of naive. Nothing ever got solved that way. The Revolutionary War started in earnest in 1775 and wasn't over until 1783, and it wasn't until 1789 that we signed a constitution. So, and that's our own revolution. But in Iceland, they called it the Pots and Pans Revolution, which I just personally, I like noisemakers. That's why I may be able to get down there. I might even have a bike this weekend, but because bikes, you know what I mean. But if you got pots and pans and you want to bang them, that's a great way to make noise, and they're not really weapons of any kind. And that's what they did in Iceland. The decision to call it American Spring, it was done. It was done long before I got involved, long before it went public. I can see your point, but it's as valid a name as any. And given the recent historical events, I think it's a pretty appropriate one. The only reason there was any real violence in Egypt, for instance, or in those other places, is because they have a dictatorship. Mubarak was a dictator. He may have been our friend or not. He may have helped keep the Muslim Brotherhood down. He may have allowed Christians to worship in peace, the Coptic Christians, instead of getting slaughtered by the radical Muslims. On the other hand, he was a dictator, and their military is not like ours. Their military doesn't swear an oath to their constitution. I think they have one, but to a man, to a leader, and their guys fired on him. And then they didn't. And then the Muslim Brotherhood, of course, they're making it, instigating trouble. We've got troublemakers here, but there's a big difference between the sort of folks that you'll find over there and the sort of folks you'll find over here. And I'm not talking about religion or skin color or language, guys. I'm talking about the heritage that they're used to, the background that they grew up with. They grew up a lot poorer than we did, with a lot less education than we did, under an awful lot more tyranny than we did. So they don't have an experience that we do of speaking freely and not having a consequence. We speak because we are used to it. We worship how we wish or not, and nobody really gives us any hard time about it. I mean, you may have the occasional person who's really, really fired up about their religion who will talk to you about it, but nobody is burning your house down or burning you in your place of worship. Nobody is threatening your wives or your children because you might be of the wrong religion. This is America. So while the name may or may not, maybe it could have been better, it's what it is. And our American Spring is going to be different. And if you'll recall, didn't Ronald Reagan use an analogy that was weather-related? He said, it's morning again in America. Well, we can't really use that again because it's Ronald Reagan, and we don't have Ronald Reagan here. But yeah, what we do have
We had our chance to have a Reagan-esque figure in Newt Gingrich, but the Republicans blew that one. Go ahead.
Well, you know, wait a minute. Had a chance. Again, you're looking at what was. Mr. Gingrich, whatever his position may be in the future in this country, deserves a position of respect for his ideas and his intellect and his devotion to liberty. And although he's made mistakes like I have and just about everybody I can think of, cancel that, everybody I can think of, he still has a lot to offer. And this is the point. We're not looking to set fire to anybody. We're not looking to hang anybody. Yeah, there's a few who say that. As far as Barack Obama goes, he's a president. I'm not a racist for saying I don't like this president, I don't like any of the presidents we've had recently at all. And provided he gets a fair trial and we actually get the information to have a fair trial, a fair presentment, I think he should be impeached. And provided he is impeached, then he should have a fair trial in the Senate. Maybe not the way the Senate is presently constituted, but we'll see how that goes after the general elections in the fall. Not just Mr. Obama and not just the Democratic Party by any means. There are quite a few in there who are just lazy or who are corrupt. That's bad enough. But there are those who are willfully undermining the basic constitutional rights that make America unique in the world and used to be an example to the entire world. Although we've never ever lived up to our potential, we're so far from it now. We have to fix this. And part of that is holding them accountable. In Iceland, where they did not have riots, where nobody was shot, their voluntary peaceful revolution put banksters in jail. It put government officials and high-banking officials who had committed fraud with the people's money, the term of billions and billions of dollars, in prison. And for those of you out there, by the way, who have said things about Israel and we should or we shouldn't support Israel, I'll say this, and you won't be able to say this about any of the other countries in the Middle East. In fact, you can't say this about any of the countries in Europe. You can't say it about any of the countries in Asia. And sadly, you can't say it about the United States of America these days. Olmert, who was their former prime minister, a very powerful man, is in jail in Israel because after a fair trial, he was found guilty of corruption. And that is what a representative republic that operates under rule of law does when they get somebody in office who gets too big for their britches and breaks the law. They give them a fair trial, and when they're found guilty, assuming they're found guilty, they get put in prison. Now, anybody out there want to challenge the fact that that is what Israel did? Go look at the news report. And anyone who thinks that we're so great, tell me why we have all these people who commit all these acts, who do NDAA, indefinite detention, no habeas corpus, who want to take away our freedom to speak. They say this openly, that they want to curtail our freedom of religious speech, our freedom of political speech, that if we offend some select group of their supporters, we're somehow guilty of hate crimes. That do we lock these people up, folks? Do we? Should we? Why aren't we? And again, over to you, Bob.
Yeah, and then we'll bring, I'm sorry, I'm reading some posts, then we'll bring Randy back in. Is I just want to read this article I have here about Glenn Beck, and I just, you know, the same guy who promotes Matt Bevin, and I want to talk about the election results in Kentucky with Matt Bevin and McConnell later. I just want to at least touch on that. I just, obviously, we know what the result is. I think it was like, you know, 30-something% Bevin, 60-something for McConnell, which shows me how sometimes I think that Republican voters are becoming just as dumb as liberal Democrat ones. I mean, that's
you know, nobody even likes McConnell. Nobody even likes the guy. No one even likes McConnell.
Exactly. So I'm like, what the I was baffled. I mean, I know that, you know, McConnell had the establishment behind him and the money behind him, things of that nature, but for it to have been as far off as it was, I was just baffled. I mean, of course, those were the right results, if you know what I mean. So, I mean, and now I won't talk about the delay. I mean, I'm just unbelievable. It's like, you know, it's like this adage. If you always do what you've always done, you're always going to have what you've already got. You know, I mean, you keep on saying you don't like McConnell, and then you have Rand Paul. Oh, I could go off on a tangent. Rand Paul endorsing McConnell. But anyway, this is about Glenn. It said, Glenn Beck encouraged his listeners to take a look into the history of the Spring of Nations that spread across Europe and Latin America in 1848. Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto planted seeds of dissent all around Europe, but it was first published in Germany on February 21st, 1848, and within days, insurrection ensued. Fast-forwarding to today, and a group called Operation American Spring is marching in Washington, D.C. On radio this morning, Glenn warned against the dangers of a spring movement. And this looks like it's a quote from Glenn Beck. I had no idea yesterday when we talked about this that today is the American Spring Day, which I think is one of the most irresponsible and dangerous things I've possibly ever heard, Glenn said. To each his own. I mean, if that's the path you want to take, but if you're calling for violence, I'm against you. I'm not tolerant of that. If you think marching to Washington and saying we're going to, you know, take our government back, as long as you're not saying violence, you know, to each his own. So it's Glenn once again asked for the audience to familiarize themselves with the history of various springs, because it's time to get down on your knees and pray. And my opinion was that is, if that's all you do, you're not going to ever get anything. But anyway, so he continues, and this is a quote from him, Glenn Beck. The Spring of Nations was 1848, and that's the year that Marx wrote his manifesto in Germany. And what he has done is that he had sent the seeds of discontent all across Europe, said, overthrow the government, Glenn explained. And the problem is these conditions are always the same. Just like in the Arab Spring, the people have a point. The government is out of control. It is too bloated. It is controlling people. It is bad. Look through history and you'll find the same thing repeated itself over and over again, and it always ends the same way. It is because of this repetition that Glenn Beck is not interested in American Spring. And this is another quote from Glenn I'm seeing. So anyone who wants the American Spring, no thank you. I see how it worked out so far, or oh so well for those people in Egypt. No thank you. If you think you're going to beat the United States of America, and if you think this military won't turn their guns on you, the American citizen, you're wrong again. So I think, again, it continues on, that he starts promoting his 9/12 project, which, of course, in my opinion, sometimes I wonder that if anything goes against him selling his seeds or anything going against the China promoter he does, like 9/12, and may give it some competition, he wants to blast any of that so that his stuff stays up front. What do you
Robert,
think, Dan? And then I'll ask you what you think, Rand. Go ahead.
All right, Robert. First of all, I'm not going to say bad things about Glenn Beck, even though he's not perfect. And he admits it. And even though he is a bit of a clown, and he says that over and over again because he's an entertainer and he's fun to watch, He's done a great deal for the movement for liberty. He has opened a lot of people's eyes. He's brought a lot of facts, although, you know, there's some debate as to whether those are his facts or facts of another famous radio host who gets a little bit, you know who I'm talking about, who gets, Alex, who gets a little bit irate at times and maybe isn't quite as smooth and urbane and as funny as Glenn is. Regardless, these facts need to be known. And the best thing that Glenn Beck ever said, in my opinion, was don't take my word for it, folks. Check it out for yourself. I say the same thing. Anybody who wants to maintain honest, not even a reputation, just honest credibility, it doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. What it means is you're doing your best to tell the truth, and if you don't, you'll correct yourself. I'm expecting that Glenn Beck will either correct himself one of two ways in the future. He will either say, well, you know, it didn't turn out to be a bloodbath because not enough people cared enough to show up, and okay, then that's a possibility,
yep,
let's be honest.
Right, yeah.
Or if it turns out to be big, he may actually have to say, I was wrong. Look at that. The police and the military are actually standing with the people. I'll tell you this. While the military is comprised of a lot of people, I spoke with Colonel West, I've mentioned this before, last fall, and asked him if he thought that the military would obey illegal orders or not, and he said no. And in recent posts and articles he's written, he said, well, he's indicating maybe not quite so much because they have been purging the leadership and they're really, really putting the psychological screws to the young men and women who are in service for our country and making it very difficult for them to even think straight with all the drugs they're pumping them on. And all the stress they're putting them under, multiple deployments in active war zones with ridiculously difficult and dangerous rules of engagement. They're really sacrificing the best of us. And I'm not to say that if you don't serve, that you're not one of the best, but let's face it, these kids really are great, that they're doing a lot, and it's for us. And would they follow orders? Let's put it this way. Would they shoot somebody who's shooting at them? I pretty much would think they would. Would they shoot somebody who has shot at somebody? They very well might. Would they shoot at grandma standing next to a school kid who don't have arms in their hand? Nobody at American Spring that I'm aware of, and we've made very clear that we were following the law because we're asking our leaders, demanding our leaders follow the law. Nobody was armed. Nobody had guns. Our security was comprised and is comprised primarily of militia members, many of whom are former military and police officers, some current where they can and still keep their jobs, and they weren't armed. And while there were a few small incidents, they dealt with it in a very peaceful way. I helped in one of them, and nothing, no blows were struck. People were calmed down. I had a fellow who was just a little hopped up on some methamphetamines or something. I talked him down a little bit, gave him a couple of cigarettes and a bottle of water, and we sat down and talked for a little while. And he came back the next day, and he wasn't stoned, and he was welcome. And what Beck said, this is what Beck said. He said a lot of stuff. And the other good thing that he does, and I hope he does this with this case too, is he does retrospectives where he'll look back and say, was I right or was I not right? And as long as he doesn't pick and choose, I'm not going to be too unhappy because I don't want to crow or say I told you so. I think that if he is truly committed to the truth, perhaps he has a misperception. And there are those of you out there who may think that he's right, that a bunch of unarmed men and women and children of every national origin, every skin color, every age, both genders. I think there's only two, right? I'm not sure if that's different these days. but they're all out there, and you got all kinds of folks, and they're just dressed normal, and, you know, we're at the Lincoln Memorial having a religious, you know, a little service, or we're over by the Smithsonian Institution just sort of, you know, chilling in the shade and getting ready to, you know, march on the White House or the Capitol and just, you know, express our feelings and our displeasure with them, and you really think that the military is going to just like roll in on MRAPs and jump out of the back of Strikers and, you know, pull their fully automatic M4s to their shoulder and just point and squeeze and rake us with weapons fire. Even if you think that, which is just kind of like bizarrely ridiculous, do you really think that the masters in Washington who do control the orders to the military, these civilian elected and unelected officials, do you think that they would consider it to be a good thing that there's going to be all kinds of people at home who have friends and family members and coworkers and neighbors who they know to be peaceful were suddenly accused of being terrorists and shot? Do you think that there's nobody in there, even if they had some sort of NSA-inspired thing that just shut down all Internet service in D.C., that there's nobody there who won't have an old-style camera or old-style, because I saw them, the video camera or even just their cell phone, even if it doesn't send anything, who won't have video and it wouldn't get out? Do you really think that there's going to be
right.
a massacre in Washington, D.C., and it wouldn't
no.
cause the rest of this country to stand up? I mean, I will remind people again of the numbers because you're all scared, and I can understand that. If they come for me with 200 or 300 armed federal agents like they did for the Bundy family with helicopters and tanks, as tough as I am, I can't stand up to them, not for long. But if they come from my town, we've got more people than that in my town. And in Pennsylvania alone, I just love numbers, more deer hunters with high-powered weapons in Pennsylvania alone, all law-abiding, decent citizens, than all armed federal agents, including active-duty military personnel, around the entire world. That's just Pennsylvania. Now, we may be number one here, but Michigan's pretty close, and Texas is right behind. So, really? And Bob, I know your home state's Ohio. There's a lot of really great patriots in Ohio, too. I'm not trying to start a little turf war. And New York?
No, nope, not at all.
Am I going to have to go through all 57 states?
57? No, none of
yeah.
them. And we do have some callers on the line. So
go
if
ahead.
You'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial, and we'll get you into the show. But we'll bring it over to you, Randy, if there's anything you'd like to make comment on. With what we're talking about so far, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I don't know how much y'all talked about what I messaged before I got in, but you know, I was in the regular Air Force a long time ago, and I guess right now what you best describe me is as a recovering politician. I ran twice in Texas and got elected
mm-hmm.
both times, and then I decided to marry this cute little Oregon girl, so I'm out on the left coast now.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that for you, bud. From Texas to Oregon.
Yeah, well, at least I'm in southern Oregon, where we call it our little red corner.
You got to talk to Kelly when he comes on. He's in Northern California, and I think he was talking about you guys seceding and creating your own states out there, which, by the way, is not unconstitutional, and that's how West Virginia and Maine and a whole bunch of other states came into being. I think is it the town of Franklin, or I mean the state of Jefferson? Kelly,
I think it's Franklin or Jefferson or something of that nature. What is Kelly?
Right, state of Jefferson. I live in the proposed area, so
awesome.
once California gets done with it, we're going to tell Salem. Hey, we're leaving. Sorry, I had a little cough there.
Oh, no, that's okay.
But,
yeah,
there's about a half dozen counties in southern Oregon that would kind of like to join Jefferson.
Well, yeah, that would be pretty interesting, and see something like that happen. So if Kelly's able to, he sent me a message earlier. He was listening earlier, but he's working on some things on his end, and so he may be able to call in for just a little bit, but we'll see.
Well, it's okay.
Well,
we do have a representative from Jefferson on the show right now.
There you go, right here.
Yep, and I've always called myself a Jefferson conservative. I'm not a neocon, a paleocon, or a decepticon.
Well, speaking of that, I've got an article. I won't say from him. I'm certainly not going to promote it. Their website, but they had been asked some very nice things to say. They're even calling Colonel Riley. Says tomorrow, a fascist former NSA division chief, Colonel Harry Riley, will be leading the neoliberal march in Washington. This is the liberal lies I was talking about. To replace Obama and a few others with their own hand-picked gaggle of neoliberal libertarians and far-right conservatives, because Obama is such a socialist, he's not implementing the IMF's austerity measures fast enough for his taste. Says those with principles
well, that's awesome.
Of West.
I'm just saying that's awesome. I never heard that before. You know, I know Colonel Riley. He's a 77-year-old man who was a regular Army grunt who worked his way up, became a non-com, and went to OCS and did not go to West Point. He did work at NSA, and this is long before NSA got to where it is now. I mean, he's 77 years old, and you have to retire at a certain point in the military. I've spoken to him. Now, I'm not saying that there's nobody out there who can lie to me. I'm not infallible, but part of my job and most of the jobs I've had in my life is investigating and evaluating, and most people, whether they want to or not, if they speak to me very long, end up telling me the truth. There's techniques that you can use. Now, I didn't use any of them. I didn't sit there interrogating the man, but he spoke to me on numbers of occasions in person, face-to-face. I can see in his eyes what he's about. I can hear his voice. He's been entirely consistent. And I'm a little upset here because, you know, if Harry was planning on overthrowing the government with some kind of coup to replace the people we have in there with another crew of handpicked leaders, you know, nobody promised me any position. I'm kind of thinking the Department of Labor might be kind of fun. I have some background in that. No, seriously, folks. Come on, really? As if, assuming that the OAS staff is a handful of people. We don't have control. You ever work with patriots? I'm sure you have. It's like herding cats, okay? You ever go to your PTA meeting or to a soccer club meeting or baseball or you know, a little football game, Girl Scouts? You ever try and make people do things, okay? We're not in control of people. What do we have to control them with? We don't control their food. We don't control their water. We don't control their coming and going. We don't have weapons. We're not interested in controlling them. But let's assume that somehow we were able to get these people who came there peacefully. And by the way, folks, it's a beautiful weekend. If you want to see some beautiful bikes, be with some nice people, come down if you're within, you know, a couple-hour drive, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. New York's only 5 hours from the southern part of the state, Ohio, West Virginia, Virginia, Maryland, North Carolina. Just come on over, bring your family, spend a few hours meeting folks that are just like you and finding out for yourself what it's like. Take a few pictures to prove that it's not some crazy people. It's fun. There's a lot of really fun people there. And then go see one of the Smithsonian museums or an art thing or something. Have a nice time. Go to the top of the Washington Monument. Have a little meal and drive home and be home in time for bedtime. That's how peaceful it is. But let's assume that somehow that you're down there with your family. You know, you took the minivan, and all of a sudden some 77-year-old colonel retired from the Army or me, just some guy, who's going to tell you, now we storm the Capitol and slit all their throats, throw them all to the dogs. Is it going to happen? Let's assume it does happen. Let's assume that everyone just goes completely crazy and they're all just like, I don't know, maybe it's some kind of zombie apocalypse or something like that. And all of a sudden, we're in there and, we're throwing corpses out the window. And we're declaring ourselves to be the new tyrants, okay? I want to be the Grand Poobah, by the way. I don't really like any of the titles they have. I just think Poobah sounds really cool. So really, this all happens, right? And then the rest of the country is just going to go like, okay, Dan Gray's the Grand Poobah now, and we have to do what he says. Yeah, I just don't think – I don't know where the hell they get this stuff from, really, honestly. It's amusing. And I am here to refute an allegation that I heard. I will say categorically that Colonel Harry Reilly, a little man, the 77-year-old man, a good, decent man, piercing blue eyes, a sunburn. I don't know where he gets his energies, like a man 50 years his junior. But that he is not, I repeat, he is not an extraterrestrial space alien from the Alpha Centauri. He is not that. I've heard that said. It's not true. And on our staff, although we do have one or two security members who kind of resemble it, there are no Bigfoots on our staff. There is not one.
Well, what
they
about
just
fascists?
Have really
that's
tall guys who need a shave.
This article is calling him. Yeah, there's folks in this article calling him a fascist.
Well, you know what? You can call anything. Was it that?
Right.
Yeah, you call anybody you want. Rose by any other name, lipstick on a pig, I don't know. I mean,
right.
The people I've dealt with, look, folks, you can believe me or not. Better yet, you can look and ask your own friends if any of them have gone, or people that you know personally might be on Facebook or YouTube. And if none of that's true, take the trip for yourself. There's police there. We have a good working relationship with all three jurisdictions of police in Washington, the two federal police jurisdictions, and the D.C. Metro. I wrote a letter to them. I told them, not only do we want you to tell us if there's any kind of problem, but we will report to you any threats to persons or property or to the reputation of this event. And I'm quite serious about that, folks. I don't rat people out. I don't go behind their backs. I'll do it right in front of your face. You break a window, you mess with a woman, you grab a kid, you hit somebody, and I'll hold you, and I'll call for the police. Seriously. So, really, just think what is likely here, and then go find out for yourself what is happening. Glenn Beck was in Washington, D.C., and had that big rock star rally. And he had I wish I was there. People who were there, friends of mine, and I can trust them because they're friends of mine and they don't lie to me, who lived local, they went to Washington and they saw for one day a great rock concert. Yeah, Beck was there and he had all these other great speakers and he had musicians and bands and politicians and it was a hoopla and it was awesome. I wish I was there. I would have enjoyed the entertainment. And nobody fired on – what did he – I think Beck had like 1.2 million people there. So I don't know. What are you going to say?
Well, and you bring up a good point Beck was there and then had the 1.2 million folks there. You think if, Fox News or maybe someone such as Glenn Beck, he would have, got himself, in my opinion – more informed about Operation American Spring, and that would have, done any kind of promotions or at least did coverage on it, did some coverage on it up to, the leading the days it started. You think that would help out any?
No, I don't know. It's a good idea.
You know, if a million people are down there just to see Glenn Beck, but I mean, I watched Fox News and things of that nature, supposed to be the conservative, news. I didn't hear them really covering much of anything on it.
Well, look, large business interests, and that includes Fox News, large conservative interests, large liberal interests. Large interests are in favor of the status quo that made them large and allows them to keep living large. This is not a conspiracy theory, folks. This is human nature. The people who are on top like it. It's a really nice position. They're used to the perks. They like the money. And some of them, the really sick ones, like the power. And that is a sickness, if you like that sort of thing. And, of course, they're invested, and they invest very heavily in these elections. Matt Bevin made some missteps in his election, and so did Mr. McConnell. They both made some errors. However, the money was not on Matt Bevin's side. He had some good funding, but McConnell had some great funding. Let's face it. Most of the people in this country are not listening to shows like this. They're not at American Spring. They're not at their local things. They're not even aware. It's astounding. We're on the mall. there was one point on Friday, because we're just getting started. People know what they were going to do, and they were going to go march on the White House, turn their backs on the White House, and silently just say, that's it, we don't like you guys, we're shunning you. Somebody else made the decision. I said, fine, if that's what you're doing. Somebody needs to stay here at the monument, because this is where we had said was the rallying point. Now it's moved, thankfully, to a shady area, because that sun's hot down in D.C., over by the Smithsonian Institution Air and Space Museum, which is right by a metro station. It's really easy to get to. There's food trucks there, folks. There's bathrooms. It's really beautiful place. So anyway, I agreed that I would stay up at the monument because somebody had to, and several veterans stayed with me from prior wars, and pretty much everything was included all the way up to, you know, back to World War II. We had one of those in Korea and Vietnam and Desert Storm and, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're sitting there just trying not to bake in the sun. And as people are coming in, this is why my crowd estimates are higher than some of the others. I estimated at 6,000 because in addition to estimating the main crowd that was moving, I also looked at the numbers that I was able to count of people coming up in their singles, in their couples, in their dozens at a time. And that made it very easily, and I just sort of kept a mental note. I could be off, but I think my accuracy is pretty close. And they were asking, where's the event? And I was directing them and telling them what was going on. And we had little school children who were coming up to us and saying, excuse me, sir, we'd like to thank you for your service and shake your hand. And there's a lot of tears around there. And we had an awful lot of tourists who were asking, what's this all about? I was standing over with the Overpasses for America group, which was right across. They were smart. They chose a place out of the sun right away on the first day. That's experience for you folks, right across from the Washington Monument. And they have some beautiful signs, of course, because they do overpasses, and it's all about signs, and they grab your eye, and they have, you know, pithy, impactful messages. And so people keep coming up, what's this about? In their singles, in their couples, in their dozens. And, you know, they'd be telling them what it's about. And then we had the main encampment or whatever. It's not really – you can't camp on the mall, folks. You have to find your own accommodations. But the main group of the American Spring, core. And again, people kept coming up, and, you know, guys from college and, you know, couples down there on a vacation. People just want to see the sights. It's our state, our national capital, after all. What's this about, they'd say? And we'd all tell them different things, because we all know different things, different issues. But it all came down to those three C's, the Constitution, the criminality of those who don't follow the Constitution, and our commitment to see a restoration of our constitutional liberties in this country and a paring back of government. It's astounding how many people knew nothing. These are smart people.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. They're not stupid. But they knew nothing about this. And yet, when we tell them, in our own words, what it's about, there was a remarkably easy conversion to, really, that makes total sense. That now you bet that must be going on, because look at, they know. You may not know anything about politics, folks, and you should, and it's not that hard to find out, and I wish you would, but you know how much you're paying at the gas pump and for energy prices over the cold winter. You know how much it costs you at the store to buy groceries and how fast that's rising. You know people in your own family and neighborhood who are out of work for a long time and can't find a job. You know that even though the vast majority of police officers are really decent, tell me, when you see that flashing red light or blue light or whatever it is in your state, in your rearview mirror, do you feel, oh, good, here's a public servant to help me? Or do you experience a moment of panic? Am I going to get a ticket? Am I going to get tasered? Is this guy going to beat me and do something worse? Because, unfortunately, that's the kind of country we're turning into, all right? So they already know how things are. That's their own experience. You cannot argue somebody out of their own experience. You cannot hand them a dog turd and tell them that it is, chocolate pudding. They can smell that it's not chocolate pudding. But they don't know why and now they're beginning to learn. So that's all this is about sharing that information and asking people to be dedicated. Quite frankly, and James,
and real,
I read
real quick,
a comment.
Dan, I see a caller on I want to bring in.
Please, because I talk too much. I told you I'm sick. Please.
That's okay, Dan. We always appreciate your input on the show. And so this is area code 407. If you could just give us your name and where you're calling from, we'd appreciate it. Your mic is on.
Oh, this is Barbara Benghazi.
Oh, hi, Barbara. How are you? Thank you very much for calling to the show.
Oh, fine. I was just enjoying listening, and if you wanted a testimonial about how it was in Operation American Spring, I was there.
Sure.
And it was an awesome
experience. Yes, we'll talk about the stories.
Oh, my gosh.
Go ahead.
I would just encourage anybody to go. I there was not a moment in the 2 days that I was there that I didn't feel safe. Everything was fine. You know, it was a beautiful place to be. Beautiful patriots to be with, and I just felt like the entire experience was just so uplifting, and I was just bone weary, you know, from walking, you know, 6 to 8 miles a day and going back and forth, you know, from one place to another protesting, but, you know, it was, my feet were sore and achy, and I almost couldn't wait to get home, and as soon as I got home, I wanted to come back.
That's how I feel.
So I was just like, oh, my gosh, I got a 4-day weekend here ahead of me. What am I going to do? I need to go back to D.C. So it was just absolutely incredible. I met Colonel Riley, and he was just fantastic. You know, he's a very, very sweet man, very genuine. And like you said, you know, you can just see it in his eyes. His eyes are so vivid and so alive. And, you know, he's just such a patriot. And there were just so many great patriots there. And I was just so humbled, you know, people in walkers and wheelchairs and young people, old people, there was a blind man there, you know, everyone had, you know, just such a patriotic spirit. And we were all there,
Barbara,
for the same cause, like you said, the three C's.
Barbara, tell
you
me
were
something.
Going to say?
Yeah, I'm just asking a question. Now I didn't pay you to answer this question, and I think
we actually
met, but I can't be sure because everybody's called Benghazi, and I met a number of
Barbaras. I know, it's a common middle name now.
It is. It's you know, it's a kind of American tradition now. But tell me, are you a wild-eyed, radical domestic terrorist or anything?
No, not even homegrown. No.
Oh, gee. Really? I mean, you don't.
I'm a mom.
You know, not a mom. Do
I'm
you
a
like?
Mom.
You're a mom, you, like, live in a house, and you drive a car, and you have...
I live in a condo, and I drive a 2001 Nissan Xterra, and I own my own business.
Wow.
I'm a solo business owner, and
well,
I took time
dangerous.
Away from my business. Yeah, it's awful dangerous. I put two children through college. They both got out of college, and they both got jobs, you know, and they're
wow.
off my dole. And, yeah, I'm so dangerous. I'm a condo president. That's probably the most dangerous thing I do.
Oh, see, folks, she's a politician.
Yeah, I'm a dumpster diva. I monitor the dumpster sometimes, you know, it's all that. But if you were there at OAS, do you remember seeing that huge yellow banner that said Benghazi on it and Lion
Chief? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's my banner.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Well, listen, next time that I'm down there and you're down there, let's make it a point, because I met so many people, and I have, like, a stack of, like, cards, and I was writing on my 3x5 card, and I'm trying to update my little address index thing, and I've got, like, 500 or 600 names, and that's only a portion of who was down there while I was there, and I know there's it was a great patriotic feeling to know that there's other people. You know, out there, folks, you may feel alone. You may feel like there's really nobody
that's
else.
That's part of it. That's part of
You're
it.
You're not
you know,
alone.
The media tries to isolate us. You know, everyone tries to isolate us. They don't report our stories. They don't tell the truth. I was in such great spirits when I was there, and when I came back, I was so agitated because, you know, people had been reporting, oh, there were a couple dozen people there, you know, and
right.
cheering and, you know,
really
carrying on.
Hundred, like, no, it's more than that.
Yeah, and
you know,
you got to ask yourself,
if this is just a few people, you know, a bunch of wackos out on the mall, just sort of like with signs marching around, somebody's got a drum, whoo, whoopee, why are they so scared? Why are,
yeah.
wouldn't, if this really was that, why wouldn't they just say,
nothing.
Who cares? Why do they have to make up lies? What scares them so much about...
I've been a very ardent fan of Glenn Beck for a long time. And I was really distressed. Well, I went to D.C. and I just saw on Facebook something that Glenn was starting to raise Cain about OAS. And then I ignored it. I went and did my patriotic thing. When I got back, I started reviewing, and I went on his website, and they had reported, they had actually posted a video of the very first part of the very first march we had done on the first day, you know, and they said a couple dozen people showed up. And they showed enough of the video clip to show a couple dozen people and then cut it off. They didn't show the 1,000 people behind it.
Barbara, this is an experience. I can give you a local update on this one, and this is not OAS. About a year ago, I think it was a year. I don't know. Time sort of blends together. I'm so busy. But on the same day that we had a open carry, because that's legal in Pennsylvania, Second Amendment March, and we had some pretty amazing speakers, the preeminent firearms lawyer. We had militia guys. We had pastors. We had veterans. We had moms who, you know, raise their kids, normal folks. And we had about 150 people turn out. And this is before things started to really ramp up. This is like a year ago. And every event, we're getting more. The news media showed up 5 minutes at the very beginning, took some footage of some people at the far end who I'm not even sure were with us. And they put on some small, desultory, you know, like, this is local news media. Yeah, it wasn't quite the turnout they expected. Right? The same day, Organizing for America, which is Obama's political group, and this is his group, they held a pro-gun control rally. And if you look closely at the video, which they got like 2 full minutes in a half-hour news program, a local news program, they used a wide-angle lens, and they shot from a low angle. I'm not a photographer. I've been told this is how it works. And they shot them from different angles and had them holding their signs with people in between the signs to make it look wider. And they had, I counted, I'm looking at the video, it's 7 people, and they gave them 2 minutes and made it look like or sound like they had the 150 people.
Right.
They're going to say what they say. The folks have to make up their own mind. If you're going to sit at home and complain about how nobody's turning out for whatever it is, whether it's Operation American Spring in Washington, D.C., an ongoing event, or if it's going to be something in your own community dealing with your own local issues that matter to you and your personal life, if you don't show up and you're just going to sit at home and whine about how nobody's showing up, maybe it's your fault. Just like it's our fault that things got this bad, it's going to be our fault if we don't fix it. And I'll tell you, there are those of us who are willing to step up and do what we can to try and fix things, and there's no guarantees. But if you're not willing to do anything,
well,
why are you
media,
bothering to say anything?
The media was part of it, but the other part of it I noticed were within our own supposedly patriotic ranks, that there were people like, oh, how many showed up? Gee, nobody showed up, or not enough people showed up. And I would go on, I was like, what's the magic number? What number does it take of us to go up there and commit to doing this to get you off your couch? I mean, what is the magic number? And they were crowing for pictures. Oh, the videos are too short. The videos aren't good. You know, poor quality videos, poor quality pictures. I was like, well, get up here and take some.
What
you
do
know,
you
we're
think
trying to we're
is,
trying to march and rally and hold signs and wipe sweat from our brows and, you know, take care of ourselves and not fall into potholes and, you know, video and stream the stuff and run into a restaurant and charge your battery, and they're complaining about the pictures aren't right.
Maybe they
you know, I said there's
they,
there's something malevolent going on, and I'm not
well,
even
no.
thinking
no,
you
it,
know,
it's
but that's
human
not
nature.
within our ranks. I mean, spiritually.
Oh,
you know, like
yes,
if you're patriots and you're with us, then why don't you be with us? You know,
I just want to say this. Let's just be as nice as possible to the people at home, because I'm not trying to say we don't want you there. You're no good. But what
no,
I want
no,
to say to them
no,
is this.
No, just get it out. I mean, just say thank you for the pictures. I'm going to pass them on.
Right. But the point is, I think they're spoiled. I think they expect somebody else to do their work for them. And I think that they're expecting a TV show or a Hollywood movie. This is not, what's the one on TV, Revolution? This is not that.
Right.
All right, this is not the Patriot Games or whatever it is in the movie. This is not any of that. You're not going to get movie stars with perfect makeup and excellent shots, and it's action the whole time, and an hour and 40 minutes, you're done, and you just walk out into the sunlight and say, wow, that moved me, that changed my life, and then you go right back to doing everything. Whether it's in your local community or you can make it to Washington, D.C., and you've heard lots of people with just as tough a situation have made it, even if you just go for a day now and then, even if you go, you take some pictures, you come back, you tell your friends, maybe a couple of you go down another time. This is an ongoing thing, folks, but if you're going to sit at home, like she says, and just do nothing, Barbara's right, you're going to get nothing. Worse than that, you're going to get the government that you fear. And there are two bad possibilities that could happen. One, since you like movies, one is 1984, and we're real close, folks. And the other one is Mad Max, because if we end up fighting, it could end up being total anarchy. Do you really, really, really want to have to deal with armed soldiers shooting at you or armed criminals shooting at you? Do you really want to have to deal with that? I like a peaceful, orderly society. I like the Constitution and the law of the land. I have no problem with being law-abiding about most laws because most of them, the ones that we know about, you know, that we agree to, make sense. It makes sense that I don't drive around a school bus at 60 miles an hour when it's stopped and has the lights flashing. I don't know anyone who disagrees with that. But I don't agree with some of the laws they're making that criminalize every single aspect of our lives, that get into our business and tell us what we need to eat, what we need to read, what we can't do, what we should do, and penalize us for this with you know, they'll take your money. I had the rally on Monday, and one of the guys is a Campaign for Liberty coordinator for three counties, and he's an awesome guy, self-made businessman. His employees love him because he treats them like gold. His customers love him because he treats them like gold. His family loves him. And I mean, he's a coach, a sports coach. Everybody loves him because he gives out a lot of love, and he gets love for back, except from the IRS, which never had a reason to audit him before because he's always very careful with numbers and he's a business guy. But since he started his move with the Ron Paul organization, with Campaign for Liberty, which is another great group, which again, I'm not 100% in agreement with them, and like anybody, but they're a great group doing great work. And he's been audited and re-audited and audited again. And the only positive out of all that grief is that it turns out they owed him money. Folks, there's no pass on this. You're not getting out of this easy. If you're not willing to do something, you're going to pay a price anyway. You might as well step up and start doing something. And this is a nice, easy thing to do that's fun and that doesn't cost you very much. You don't have to spend a fortune. Tank of gas down and back for most people. Tank of gas is not cheap, but a lot of people can afford that. You're going to have to buy your food. If you stay for only the one day, you don't even have to buy accommodations. And, yes, you can make arrangements, but this weekend with all those bikers coming to town, I think you might be hard-pressed to find a hotel room.
Well, if I could say one more thing, I'll get out of your hair.
Here's how things go here, Barbara. Just, you're not going to be in our hair. You know, what we do is we keep folks on as long as they're respectful to our guests and our panelists on the show. You know, we keep them in and they can, you know, stay with our roundtable discussion as we go over the topics for tonight. That's actually what I was getting ready to do, is bring Randy back in, see if there's anything he'd like to chime in about, and then we can bring you guys back in. But that's kind of how we do things here. It's unlike other talk shows where people come in, they talk for, you know, 5-10 minutes, and it's like, oh, well, thank you for coming to the show, you know, and that's it. But, you know, when people call in, they're, you know, they could stay in for the remainder of the show if they would like to do that. So you're more than welcome to stay, Barbara, if you wish.
So I should say what I was going to say, or wait?
Hold on. I do want to bring Randy back in because we haven't heard from him for a little bit, and then we'll definitely get back with you. Randy, is there anything you'd like to add in?
Well, yeah. I'll go ahead and yield to Barbara so she can finish her thought, and I'll kick in.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Barbara.
I was just going to offer, if someone can't get to D.C. and they really feel inspired to do something, I'm a member of Overpasses for America, and that's one of the easiest things to do. Just about anybody can stand on an overpass. And you can get hooked up with the group. I'm sure you can give out the website later if you want to. But it's easy to do, and people honk with an American flag. When we walk up on an overpass, all they have to do is see us starting to unroll the flag, and people start honking and waving and blinking their lights. You know, so people are waking up. You don't even have to get up with fancy signs or anything. You know, just with the American flag, if that's all you got, you know, that's appreciated. So that's what I wanted to say.
You know, just real quick before Randy comes in, that is one of the best force multipliers out there. If you can only get a few people to show up at a particular time and place because of the demands of their lives, say you have 4 people, 5 people, 30 people, that's not a huge amount for a rally. However, if you're standing on overpasses and you've got one overpass and the next overpass and the one in back of that, and you've got signs saying restore the Constitution, impeach Obama, you know, where's my Obamacare waiver, whatever it is, you're going to reach 10, 15, if you pick the right road at the right time of day, you're going to reach 10, 15,000 people. They cannot help but notice you. Most of them are going to notice you, and they're never going to forget what they saw. They're going to mention it when they come home or when they get to work or when they go to the grocery store. They're going to say, I saw these guys and ladies standing on an overpass, and their sign said whatever your sign said. You've just changed America in a small but significant way. And if you keep doing it, it could be a large and significant way. Overpasses is awesome.
Yeah, we have a rally in my area almost every week, almost every weekend.
What state were you in again? I forget.
Florida.
Oh,
I'm in the Orlando, Florida area.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, though, so I just want to get that plug in, too. Go PA.
Yay, Pennsylvania.
Pardon?
Go.
Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, just following up on what Dan said, this is not 24. This is 24/7, 365.
Good one.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I have to admit, there's only 2 shows on TV that I watch. I mean, I have to record them because there's no way that I'd be able to have time to you know, be able to watch them when they come on. And that's when you know, so I watch them like when I'm eating dinner or something of that. And actually, it's the only time I watch them, but it's when I take the time to eat dinner. But that's 24 is one of those shows that I do like to watch. It's edge of your seat show. So that one, that's the only one. There's a second one, Game of Thrones. Those are the 2 ones I like. But yeah, I just had to throw that in there.
I wanted to ask Randy.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, because I'm not a very technical guy. I mean, I can rebuild carburetors and stuff for you, but when it comes to some of this modern stuff, you know, I'd scare at it for an hour, and I start cursing, and my kid's 21. She just, like, pushes me aside, hits a few keys, and says, don't touch that again, and it's fixed. You were saying that you thought that there might have been some sort of denial of service or somebody playing with the bandwidth. What besides the content of some of these crazy claims that are out there and people saying things, what are other things that we might expect they might do or might already be doing to influence people's public perception of what's actually going on there?
Well, I don't want to get too far down into the weeds, but as far as net neutrality is, the FCC has already said that they're going to establish so-called fast lanes, like for Netflix and other high-volume users, but that sort of implies that with a fixed amount of bandwidth, there's going to be some slow lanes, and you bet you know who's going to be picked for those is the people that the administration doesn't like, so their bandwidth will get tighter and slower and break apart and just all sorts of mischief, and those are very easy to handle for, say, a system administrator on a server. And, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of servers across this country.
So it's kind of like in the old days when Chicago mob politics or the New York Tammany Hall, if they didn't like what a newspaper was putting out, there would just be somebody breaking the press up, or there'd be somebody beating up their newsboys, or they just simply, you know, hijack a truck full of newsprint so nothing, you know, the paper so nothing got published. It's just electronically. I'm trying to understand this from an old school point of view. I'm old. You see, folks, there's only one way to really know the truth, and that's to experience the truth or to know somebody who has experienced it that you trust. Look, if your wife or your kid or your best friend tells you something and they're not, you know, sick or drunk or crazy, you'd know that. You know they're telling you the truth because that's what they do. You have an experience of them. Well, some of you know me. A lot of people know me. I'm telling you this. If you don't know me, you know somebody who was there or somebody who knows somebody who was there. Check it out. And if you don't know anyone who knows anyone who was there, why don't you take the time to go and find out for one day and come back and tell your friends? Because very few people are going to have the resources and the life to be able to permit themselves to go live in Washington, D.C. for a permanent protest. There are some, and God bless them. But if you can't do that, what you can do is bring that experience home, and then another weekend, perhaps, during a vacation time, someone else can go. Maybe you're on your way down to Disney World and decide to spend one of the days in D.C., you know? Or
actually, that's what we're planning on doing, hopefully, July.
There you go.
That's
a perfect
kind of
thing.
I'm hoping to be able to do it July.
And I'll tell you what else, folks, when you bring, this is safe, of course, but when you bring your children to this, it's one of the nicest things about this is that on the awful lot of events that I attend or meetings that I go to, you know, political type things and issue things, there are a bunch of serious adults. And there's, you know, the occasional younger person in there, but they're all adult younger persons. Down in the mall in D.C., there's kids, families with kids. And I think it's really important that kids see more than just what's on television. They know they're being lied to. I mean, come on. Kids are automatic rebels anyway, and they're pretty good at being able to sniff out whether that's chocolate pudding or something else. So it's really refreshing. And we had school children who were not little kids, but who were, say, you know, in high school, who had a little time, and their teachers permitted us to spend time, you know, just discussing with them because they came up to us. We're not like trying to, you know, intrude on their class trip or whatever. And they asked a lot of really, really, really good questions. Youth is good at asking questions. They want to know, and they're very hard on you. And most of the people who are there have some answers, and they're just ordinary people who've done their homework. And these kids were listening. You could just see them soaking this up. So that was, in one brief moment, a total inoculation against the, all the indoctrination they've received in school where they're told that, you know, the government can do what it wants and you have to be an obedient servant to the government instead of the other way around, and that your rights aren't really rights. The government grants them to you. They keep getting all this crap, this Common Core mush. But they know it's not true, and they're thirsty. They're thirsty for the truth, and they understand the Constitution. You know, even, I'll tell you what, a 3, 4, or 5-year-old understands the Constitution. If you think I'm wrong, ask some kid, do you think you should be able to do what you want unless you're actually hurting somebody? What kid's going to say, no, I don't think I have the right to do what I want? All kids want to do what they want. Ask these kids, any kid, do you think you should have the right to keep your own stuff? And whatever their stuff is, whether it's a stuffed animal or a bike or, you know, some athletic gear or an iPod or whatever it is, you bet they want to keep their own stuff. Well, there in a nutshell, folks, that's a basic human understanding of basic human rights. So it's not all that complicated. All the stuff that you hear that's complicated, it's meant to distract you. It's meant to confuse you. Yes, there's a lot of issues that have complicated facts in them because we're getting lied to in a very complicated manner by some very sophisticated liars, but the basics are not complicated. They're real simple. We want our freedom. The government is taking our freedom. They're poised to take all of our freedom. All we're asking is that the government be limited. And for those who don't feel the danger, tell me what danger there is in having a government that is limited to what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights says. Where is the danger in a government that can't tell you how to speak, when to speak, what manner of speaking, how to worship or not, who you can assemble with, whether you can petition, whether you're right, free in, from search and seizure of your person, property, and papers without due cause, exigent circumstances, or a warrant, that you have a right to a free trial, that the IRS should not be picking on you, that just because of your political views. I mean, how more simple can you get?
And speaking of limited resources, we do have limited time here of the live portion of Bard's Logic Political Talk, so we'll be going into the extended version in about 19 minutes. And for those of you listening live, if you want to hear the extended version or want to be a part of it, give us a call at 347-945-7428 and push the 1 on your number dial to let us know you would like to chime in. Because if not, for those who are new to the show, at the stroke of midnight Eastern time, which is in about 18 minutes now, you will be cut off from listening to the extended version of the show. But of course, if you can't make it, we understand, and there is the archive that begins to be available as soon as we reach that midnight mark Eastern time. But while I'm headed, let's want to funnel folks over to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogictalk.com. Check out some of the pages there, including our Give page, which has some wonderful organizations on there and charities that could use your help. So check those out, scroll them down on the list I have there. And also on the sponsor and affiliate page, especially for those folks who are planning on going to D.C., and if you bring some food that you can cook, you can actually use, and you talked about this earlier while you were down there, there's a lot of sun down there. You were talking about that, and there's actually called the Go Sun Stove that actually uses the sun to cook your food. So to find out more about that, it's something you can take with you. It travels with you, so you can cook yourself a hot meal without the use of any fuel. So check that out on the affiliate page at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And so you can cook yourself a meal while you are out there in D.C. for Operation American Spring. So we'll bring it back. So if anyone would like to call in and be a part of the extended version, again, the number is 347-945-7428. So what we'll do is we'll bring Barbara back on, and then Randy, if you'd like to add anything with the conversation, and then Dan. So go ahead, Barbara, the mic is yours. And I do see some folks who have called in. If you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial. Go ahead, Barbara.
Oh, I'm good. I'm just listening. I don't have anything to add at the moment.
Okay, that's fine. And we'll just keep the folks' mics open. If there's Randy, then we'll bring it over to you. And if there's anything you'd like to add on that, go ahead.
Yeah, Dan hit a real good point because my son graduates high school this year, and he's going to be taking his final in government next week. And he said, "Dad, just leave me alone. I couldn't do what the teacher says."
Well, you know, that's one of the problems with Common Core. We had a Peg Lucker mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania on a few weeks back telling us all the horrors of Common Core. And one of it is that they teach to a standardized result. It doesn't matter if you've learned everything correctly as the way things really are in the world. In order to pass their tests, in order to graduate, in order to get anywhere in the new system that they want that they're trying to foist upon us, you still have to learn their mistaken facts and their skewed logic or lack of sane and their crazy way of doing things. You can't, for instance, in math, get the right answer the traditional way that works that everybody knows about. No, you have to do it their way, which is next to impossible. And I'm not good at math, so even the ordinary way doesn't work that great for me. But my wife and daughter are. And by the way, I think I should mention
it's
this.
I had real quick. I'll interject real quick. I actually had Kelly, who the folks who are regulars here know that he's an engineer, and I'm not that great at math either. And actually, I called him one time with a math problem that my daughter had. Now, I'll tell you, my daughter's in the sixth grade, and there was a math problem that I couldn't get. So I actually spoke with Kelly, and he gave me, some ideas on how to figure it out. And, he showed me how to figure it out for her math. So I had to go to an engineer to figure out how to get this sixth grade math problem done.
That's true.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, no, it just occurred to me, and I will remind everybody in the audience that I'm sick. I usually don't get sick, but I just pull in 140-hour weeks for the last year. I'm exhausted, and there's something wrong with me. I got fever or whatever. I'll be fine, but I'm not quite well in the head, I think. But when you were talking about families, my wife tonight, who's a very private person, who doesn't like me talking about family. She tries to maintain a politics-free household so we don't all go crazy here. But she actually gave me a story a little bit to tell and said that I'm not only authorized, I'm instructed to use it. And this woman knows what she's doing, except when she picked me, of course. So I'm going to share this with you. All these people arguing within the ranks of the Liberty Movement. We've been married 30 years, folks, and she's the most beautiful woman that I've ever met, and she's just awesome. Even if she hadn't picked me, she's just awesome. And hopefully she finds me kind of attractive after all these years, and we argue. I don't know too many married couples that don't, or too many families that don't. She said, it's not because we don't love each other. It's because there's so much. It's because we do. It's because of all this passion that's involved. And the thing to remember is that the argument isn't important most of the time. If you're not talking about, beating each other or gambling away the mortgage payment or, using drugs and passing out while the kid's in the bathtub, most of the arguments that we have are important, but they're not that important. The passion is there because we care so much about each other, and we have to remember that what we need to do is channel that passion back into the commitment that we have to each other. I am not alone in this country. I am not alone in my family or in my small town or in my job or in this country. If we were all alone, there'd be no country. These patriots who show up on the Mall in D.C., these patriots who are involved in all of these different activities to try and take America back to a constitutional republic, they're my family, and we have to remember that we care about each other, that we're going to disagree about some things. They're family, and family doesn't necessarily, in this case, look like you. One of the events that I think I'm not sure because I think they want me to speak at it. I've got to find out in the next couple of days. There's something, even if not, I'm going. July 4th in Gettysburg, and they were down there being part of OAS and promoting the event July 4th in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which is a cross-racial event. It's specifically a racial reintegration. I think that's what they're calling it. I don't have all the details, but that's the date and that's the place. And the theme is that this artificial division, this country had racial problems and we were getting so far away from them. We were really doing good, And in a lot of individual cases, we are. We don't care what our neighbor looks like. We care, does he mow the lawn and take the trash out? And does his dog bark at all hours, or does he, keep good control of it? Does his kid respectful or to our community? We care about these things. Does he keep his house up and have a job? Are they decent folks who try and help out when somebody needs something and let us help them when they need something? But under this current administration, they're foisting this division upon us, not just in terms of economics, who's rich or who's poor, and most of us are poor, but whether we're gay or straight. I don't care if you're gay. I'm straight. It doesn't hurt me any if you're gay. Have at it. enjoy yourself. Keep the details to yourself. I'll do the same about my life. And whether we're black or white or yellow or brown, I don't care. I really don't. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not jealous of you. I'm not better than you. You don't need to worry about me. I don't have any privilege just because I happen to be a white guy. I won't treat you any different or let you be treated different based on your external characteristics. Now, if you act like a jerk, I don't care what color you are, you'll get treated different. But this is the thing that you'll find when you go to OAS. They're not all white dudes wearing camo. There's a lot of moms and some kids and people who may not look just like you, and after you talk to them for 5 minutes, you find out they're just like you. And
they
the funny thing
like
is, oh yeah, and the funny thing is, of the veterans that are down there, you'll find an even greater mix. Even, I mean, it's so homogeneous, and I think that's the right word, just a complete mix, like homogenized milk, and it's all mixed up. Because in military service, you serve next to who you serve next to in the unit you're assigned to. And they're your brothers or your sisters, and that's the way it is, and that's fine, and that's good. Because you can judge your fellow on whether or not they do their duty and whether or not they make life easier or difficult for you, and whether or not you can trust them to stand by you and, you know, watch over you while you're doing that for them. So we had a fellow who was on security at the camp I was staying with OAS personnel, some security people. And he is a young Puerto Rican-American dude from Brooklyn, New York. I think it's Brooklyn, not the Bronx. It's a great New York accent, though, a Spanglish kind of New York accent. And he cuts hair for a living. He's just got out of the military after two full tours, saw combat. And he's a friendly fella, and he's a smart fella. He's a nice young man. And we don't really care that, you know, he's Puerto Rican, great. Who cares? We like, after the day is done, to sit down and have a nice little meal and share a beer or two. And I'm very interested in his stories about his family, because it sounds an awful lot like my family.
Oh, we're here. We're just listening. Just cut off real quick.
Yeah, we're here.
You know what? I'm putting everybody to sleep.
You had our
this is bad.
So intently when it stopped. When you stopped, it shocked us.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Barbara.
This is Barbara. I had a really sweet moment at OAS. If I could share that.
Certainly.
We were up at the Capitol the very first day when we had kind of stormed the barricades at the Capitol, and we had walked up and we were very close to the Capitol building, and I was crowded up against a chicken wire fence right by the line of cops, and I lost track of my friends. And so after we were done chanting, and, you know, I turned around at one point, and I said, where are my people? And I met my friends that I come with, and this man right behind me, the young man, said, we're your people. Like, we're all
wow.
your people.
That's true.
He might have been like 23, 24, 25. I'm 57. And I just looked at him. I'm like, you're so right. What am I looking for them for? I've got you. So, yeah, it was a really sweet moment. And another moment, well, it was a whole day or 2 days. There were three young black brothers that had found out about OAS online. And they came down just out of curiosity to see what it was all about. And they very bright, and we had some very good conversations about the Fed and about the government, the Constitution. They knew all their articles and sections. It was really good. And they came back the second day too. They were carrying my banner. You know, they had American flags in their backpacks. So yeah, it was just awesome. They weren't part of our group, but they became part of our group.
That's the America we want. That's the America
yeah.
we're supposed to be.
Yeah, it was just so, you know, you're just so used to all the division being foisted on us, you know, and that was just so natural and organic, and, you know, we were just people. And
see,
yeah,
we like
it
organic
was so great.
On Bard's Logic Political Talk.
Yeah.
You know, it's true. When you meet folks aren't aware of what's going on, who have just, they haven't been educated, they're certainly not going to get it through the schools or the media. If you don't go into buzzwords, if you stay away from labels, if you don't talk about liberals and conservatives and Republicans and Democrats, and you, if you leave the technical stuff about the Federal Reserve and, you know, NDAA and these things, you know, an eminent domain, if you leave those aside for just a little, remembering that they're smart people who just don't have the knowledge, and you start with basics, just like you, not speaking down to them, but just like when I was talking about speaking to a little kid, those basics. If you talk to them about just what those rights mean, what they get you, they know in their lives that they don't have the freedoms that they're supposed to have. They know what America is supposed to be. They don't trust the people in charge. They know those people are corrupt. And if you're gentle with them and you don't try and convince them about stuff, and you listen to them as well, you'll find that you have a patriot there, and within 5 minutes, they're telling you stuff. And, you know, they may not be as eloquent as Jefferson or Franklin or Madison, but they're saying the same exact things, the same exact things, which means once you've gotten them that far, then you can turn them on to people like Jefferson and Madison and Franklin with a couple of quotes that they may even have heard one time from school or whatever. And it piques their interest, and people aren't stupid, and they're going to want to learn some more. And you can take them to one of the sites or have them friend you on Facebook or something and start reading these things. It's amazing how fast. I mean, for a lot of us who are older, it took me decades to learn all this stuff, because as they were turning the heat up and the water was warming and the frog was starting to boil, I was getting uncomfortable. And bit by bit, it took me. But these days, it doesn't take you very long at all. 5 minutes and you've made the connection. Five conversations and they're with you, and 5 weeks and they're recruiting others and they are fully aware and finding out stuff every single day. It's the time. It's the time now, folks.
Yeah, they're thirsty. They know there's something missing, and they're thirsty for the information.
That's true. So, Bob, do we have anybody else coming on before that hour closes up?
We do. We have a good friend of ours who would like to chime in, and that is our friend Harriet. Thank you very much, Harriet, for calling to the show. And if anyone would like to come into the extended version, give us a call at 347-945-7428. If you even just want to listen, if you'd like to chime in, you're welcome to as well. Because if you do not, within the next 2 minutes, then the live portion of the show will cut off. But, of course, you'll be welcome to listen to the archive, which will be available right after the show, and actually available right after the live portion of the show is over. So go ahead, Harriet. Thank you for calling to the show. How are you?
Yes, I thank you. Very interesting. I just wanted to ask Barbara, I live in Florida, and if she wanted to say where she lives, that would be, you know, very interesting. That's all that I have to say.
Thanks, Harry.
Hi, Harriet. We love
Harriet. I was just wondering.
Go ahead, Barbara. You said you're from Florida, correct?
Oh, okay, yeah. I live in the Orlando area.
Oh, I live in the Ocala, Marion County area.
Oh, okay. I know there's overpasses in your area as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
Can I give a website? Do you need the website or anything?
Yeah, if you do, I would appreciate it. I only have my page on the network here. But it would be Harriet Brinker, and I have a full page here. And I have a timeline, and you're welcome to join. Also, I like to do a lot of research before I post anything, but if you happen to see something that is not correct or could be added on, please go ahead and do that. So
okay,
give me your
I will.
Website. Yeah, give me your website.
It's www.o,
okay.
It's O, and
yeah.
The letter, the number 4.
Okay.
A.
A.
.com.
.com.
So it's abbreviation for overpassesforamerica.com.
Okay. And you're in the Orlando area.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'd like to communicate with you further. Websites, groups related to Florida, I don't know, you may know, but I will suggest them, are on Facebook are the Conservatives, Florida Patriots, so Florida Freedom, Conservative Freedom. I'm going to send you the links to all of these Florida websites that you can go into and, you know, find out other information and share information.
Okay.
The one thing I'd like to let you know, Barbara,
about
welcome. Harriet.
Yes.
Is, and I'll say this in front of her, even though I'm probably going to embarrass her. What Harriet says is right. She vets information. There are those of us, many of us, who there's just so much, and it's so hard to know, is this true? Is this partly true? Kind of true? Is this the best? When I see one of Harriet's links get posted, I make it a point to read it because I know that she's taken the time and the due diligence to do her scholarship. That means that when I'm reading it, I'm reading the best version of the best article with the most carefully considered facts out there, and that helps me a great deal. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people think that they can't do stuff, and overpasses, as Barbara says, is a pretty easy thing to do. But if you can't do that, don't worry. There's tons and tons and tons of work out there. Every single thing is important. Whether you're doing something in the lead or you're doing something on the side or you're doing something that follows or supports, doesn't matter. Like I said, you know, I'm supposed to be some kind of leader or something, and I do all this speaking, and I can't shut up, but I'm writing. But when they needed somebody to sit at the Washington Monument and just hold the fort, I was happy to do it. And there's others who are happy to do things. My friend who showed up, B.I. Troutman, at my Harrisburg rally on Monday, he just came there to support. But I guess he found out that he's a leader, and he stepped up and started speaking. Folks, you don't even know where your talents are until you start using them. And you might find that you're capable of an awful lot more than you think that you're capable of. And even if you're very accurate and somber and sober about your own assessment of your own abilities and you know exactly what you can give, I trust me, folks, what you need, what we need is what you have to give. There are, for overpasses, can you make a sign? I have no graphic art talent. That's something we need. Can you find some way of organizing things? Because that's desperately needed everywhere you turn in every organization. Are you one of the people who can sort of marshal everyone together and get them to show up at the same time and get on message and do the same thing? That's needed. Whatever it is, are you the person who's going to make sure that somebody brings, maybe it's you or someone else, somebody brings some cold drinks and some snacks and maybe a first aid kit because, you know, things happen. That's needed. There is nothing unimportant. Everything you do is important. Don't even think that those people who you call leaders or who call themselves leaders or that you follow, don't think that they're more important than you. Look, I can get out there right now in the middle of the street, in the middle of the night in my little town and start marching down the street, and guess what? I'm not a leader because everybody's in their houses. Nobody's going to follow me. And if I start trying to get these people to follow me, we live in the mountains, off of a cliff, they're not going to follow me. They're sensible. That's not a leader. But if they need to get from point A to point B and I know how to get there and I go first and say, let's take this route, it's going to be easier on you, you're going to be able to make it the trip better and arrive in better condition, we'll get there a little bit quicker, it's safer. That's a leader. And you can lead in a lot of different ways. And we need you. I'm begging you. I can't do this alone. Barbara and Harriet and Randy, James, Jim Neighbors, the rest of us, we can't do this alone. You can't just sit back and watch a few of us go out there and do those things that we're doing, whether it's American Spring or in your own neighborhood, and say, boy, that's great, and then go home and put on your favorite TV show. You don't have to give up your favorite TV show, but you've got to spend a little bit of time and effort on this, and you'll find it so rewarding that you're going to want to spend more. And if you don't, we can't save you. There's not enough of us yet unless you join
right.
us.
Well, there's a negative opinions rendered ahead of time when this was being planned for the
mm-hmm.
Washington movement. And I, for one, feel that you cannot make a judgment or an opinion, especially to a final outcome, until you give it a try. And this is something that has not been tried. Of course, we know about the truckers and everything like that on a small scale. So you don't know, and it does hurt me when I hear people say, who was that dumb person who started this? This is not going to be anything. Little jabs and little digs here and there. That hurts because of the people who are giving their time and their life and their funding and their effort into working on something, because we don't know if, in fact, it's not going to work. The biggest thing that I see so far that is so wonderful is that people are now getting educated that did not have the education before they came to Washington as a tourist or whatever. That alone is making this effort worthwhile.
That was well said.
Yeah, it's true.
It is true.
Yeah, that I'm most impressed with.
Right, and if you, and I'm of the mind that if you punt, you know, if you put in a lot of negativity in it, you're going to, you know, make a self-fulfilling prophecy, as you keep on, you know, as you said, Harry, put in jabs, saying negative things about it, and I think that definitely has an effect, and I think even in, to a point where it might have affected some of the turnout down there, just, you know, all the Rangels down there, and actually my baseball team, my wife watches them. here in Ohio, they were playing in Washington D.C. and they had rain again today. I think they had to at least postpone or whatever, stop the game or whatever they do in baseball. because all the rain down there, and there's a lot of rain down there this weekend too.
You know, folks, Valley Forge. Everyone, even if you've had a poor education in this country, knows what Valley Forge was. It was a small, small group of suffering men without who their own governments, their own states, and the brand-new National Confederation of States or whatever it was. I wish Kelly was on. He could set me straight on all the history details. But nobody supported them. They couldn't get food. They couldn't get firewood. They couldn't get shelter. They had to build little log cabins that are still there. So they were rebuilt exactly the same way, built with sod, with like in the dirt, okay? And it was a cold winter. Pennsylvania has some harsh winters. Sometimes they're really brutal. And they didn't have shoes, folks. They didn't have shoes in the snow. And yet they stayed together and they learned. They learned from von Steuben and others how to fight. Proceeded to lose engagement after engagement. And if you think about the Southern campaign, because we have a lot of people listening from the South, Nathaniel Green, the Quaker, who was kicked out of his religion because he decided he had to fight for liberty and not see it go by the wayside, he fought a losing battle. Battle after battle, he drew Cornwallis's forces after him, losing skirmish after skirmish. They won one at Cowpens in Carolinas, but very few. And they drew them. And as they did, they lost less men than the British. And they had better logistics. They had learned how to do things, how to move, how to fight on the move. And they drained the British forces of their strength and drew them to Yorktown, where Washington, in combination with the French fleet, were able to defeat them and end that war. That is what happens. Christmas Eve of 1776, a low point that turned into a high point. They crossed the Delaware, Washington and his troops, with the help of the Marblehead Massachusetts fishermen with their boats. They crossed the Delaware and marched in the middle of winter when there was no campaign because there were no roads. These were mud and ice roads. They were just hacked out of the wilderness. There was no macadam. They didn't have anything with motors. There were no gasoline motors in the world. They had no indoors. and they marched and left bloody footprints in the snow. And we're complaining because it's going to take me a tank of gas to get down there and back. Well, look, if you can't afford it, I get it. But if you can afford it and you're complaining, or it's going to take me a day, and really, I was planning on cleaning out the gutters, or there's some really great games on that day. Okay, great. So you're willing to trade your liberty for some temporary comfort that you're not going to keep. It's going to go by the wayside. You're going to be looking back and saying, what happened to the days when I could live free and do what I wanted to do? The answer is real simple. If you don't do what you need to do, you'll never have the ability to keep what you want to do. People sacrificed for us. They sacrificed in war after war, and it wasn't just war fighters. The pioneers who opened up the nation sacrificed for us. The immigrants who came away from places where they were treated as slaves or a little better than slaves, servants, serfs, peons, peasants, call it what you will. They came here to be Americans. They sacrificed. They worked ungodly hours. They shared horrible tenement conditions, all so that their children could get an education, all so that they could rise and be Americans. And with very few exceptions, they did. The blacks who were brought here from Africa, my God, they suffered. And it wasn't even their choice. But once they had the ability, how many of them chose to leave for Liberia when it was paid for? You can go back. And they said, no, we know what America's supposed to be about. Frederick Douglass told us what America's supposed to be about. We understand that. We want a part of that. And the American Indians, my God, they were treated terrible. This America has never been perfect. They choose to be part of this great country and to exercise their rights, which existed long before white men were here, long before red men were here. These are natural rights of human beings, no matter where you are. And you at home have a choice. Your choice is to do nothing. And if you do nothing, what you've done is you've helped the bad guys. They're counting on you sitting on your behind and doing nothing. The only thing that scares them is you getting up off your backside and doing something. If you can make Operation American Spring, you are welcome. I can't be there the whole time. But if you can't find something to do in your own neighborhood, if you can't do overpasses one weekend a month, if you can't join your local 912 group or your local Patriot group or Tea Party group or try and take over the Republican Party or try and take over the Democratic Party, if you can't pick an issue that resonates in your heart, pro-life, hey, it doesn't even have to be about people. You could be helping this society by cleaning up a roadway or by helping at an animal shelter. I mean, those aren't constitutional issues, but it sure does show that you're contributing and you'll get a great feeling out of it. Maybe it'll lead you to a constitutional issue. But if you're unwilling to do any of that, then I'm just as mad as you. I'm more upset with you than I am with those jerks in Washington and the state capitals who are trying to take our liberty. I understand when a criminal wants to rob me. They're criminals. They chose to be evil. I don't understand it when a good person decides that it's not worth their time and effort to get off their behind and do something to help. I don't understand that, and maybe that's something wrong with me.
No, not at all, Dan. And I just got a message from our panelist, Cindy Todd, who is in Texas. She just wanted to convey her hellos and warm wishes to everyone out there. She wasn't able to get in earlier tonight. I believe she has a family member over there. She's originally from Florida as well. She has some family over there in Texas who I believe it might be her daughter who is having a baby. So she's over there, and unfortunately her phone, I normally would do a three-way call in to get her into the show, isn't working out there. And everyone else there is asleep, so I can't call the home phone. So I told her I would convey her hellos to everyone.
Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Dan, if I could.
Please. Go ahead. And then, go ahead, Randy.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to most of the political shows today, and they were all kind of celebrating how the Tea Party was finished, and I was just thinking about that for a while, and I said, wait a minute, I am Tea Party, even if I'm just one person, and I'm not finished.
Very good. Yeah, actually, we talked about that a little bit tonight, you know, specifically with Matt Bevin and Mitch McConnell and their the race that had to do with the Republican primary, you know, in the Senate there. And, of course, we mentioned that Bevin was on the show, and you would like to hear that, the show's on the archives. But I think it was like a 30-something, Bevin had 30-something percent, and McConnell had 60-something percent, something of that nature. But I'm just totally baffled how you hear all these folks out there saying how they don't like McConnell, he's not really a true conservative, and yet here he is once again. I'm starting to, I told Dan this, I said, I'm starting to think that, you know, the Republican voters are becoming just as, I hate to say it, but just as dumb as the liberal Democrat, you know, the Democrat voters who just keep on voting the same folks in. I mean, you know, there's a quote that my brother used to say all the time is, you know, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to have what you already have got. So if you keep voting in these rhinos, you keep voting in folks such as Mitch McConnell, then how's anything ever going to, I mean, because people, there was a guy tonight who was on, I was chatting with on Facebook, who wasn't a supporter of Operation American Spring, but said, you know, well, we need to do this at the ballot box. Well, if you're not going to, you know, if you're not going to participate in OAS, and you're not going to, you know, participate, well, you know, or if you do, vote for the rhinos, and at the batter, you know, batter's box. Now you was talking about baseball earlier. Now it's got me. In the voter's box, then what the heck are you going to do if you keep putting these guys in? How do they expect anything to change? If you're not going to go, as we put it, you know, get out there, or if you have the ballot box, you continue to vote for the same folks.
You know, there's another thing to that. I don't think they're stupid, but I do think people are naturally conservative in a certain way. And I don't mean conservative politically. I mean, they have a tendency to do what they've always done because it's what they've always done, and they have a tendency to be suspicious of new things. Because let's face it, most of the time, new things are really not necessarily good things. And whatever what you've got works, why do you really want to change it? This all changes when they see somebody, that's what a leader is, doing something different. In other words, there are these, I guess you call them V8 moments, you know. You know, the commercials where people go, wow, I could have had, and I'm not giving a product endorsement personally. I don't like the taste of the stuff, but it's supposed to be healthy for you, whatever. But the V8 moment is like when James Neighbors came up with this idea of like force multiplier to just, and I think, I don't know if it was his idea or whose idea, but he's the one who's leading the charge there, and I got to meet him finally, great guy. And I'm sorry he's not on the show tonight, but that's a V8 moment where everybody goes, wow. It makes perfect. Why didn't I think of that? Until someone does it. There's a young lady who was on the show, Karen Drum. She was on live from OAS for the special show on Friday. And she had a V8 moment and just started doing stuff. And she shared it with me. I'm going to share it with all of you. She's a biker. Her and her boyfriend were, or fiance were up at Sturgis, which is a big biker rally. And she was trying to give out some cards about a guy who's going to be a guest on our show coming up, but Charlie Strange. His son was Michael Strange, who was a member of SEAL Team 6 that took out Osama, and then I'm not going to give it all away, but because he's got plenty to say on that, but whose chopper was shut down. She was trying to hand out some cards that she had made up really inexpensively. I think it was Vistaprint or something. And she was just to bring people's attention. Here, look at this issue. Go to the website. Educate yourself. And even at Sturgis with bikers, we don't want a card. So what she did was she just went around all the gas stations, because bikes don't carry a lot of gas and everybody needs to gas up. And without damaging any of the ATMs or committing any vandalism, she simply inserted one of these little business cards in every single ATM slot, you know, where you pay for your gas or whatever. And it's genius. It's genius because as a force multiplier, and we all go, I'm sure you're all going, wow, that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? That you just pull it from the slot because you got to put your card in. Now you've touched it. You're going to read it because there's nobody there making you read it. and you're infected. It's too late. You can't go back. What's more, a lot of the time, if it's not something that really offends you or is just what, you know, bores you, you're going to put it in your pocket. You might even look it up later. And that's a really cheap and easy way. There are a lot of things out there that we haven't thought of yet that we could do. And folks, these things can be incredibly successful. Do you eat pizza? Because if you do eat pizza, and if you're old enough to remember, you used to get pizza where the cheese was stuck to the top of the box. You'd have a ruined pizza because you're not going to eat the cardboard. Now you've got a pie with just sauce, and it's just not the same. Well, there was a pizza shop owner who invented this little thing. He took a poker chip and some paper clips, and it held the lid up. You see where I'm going with this? Whenever you open your pizza today, there's a little plastic tripod table thing in there that just holds the lid up. And it doesn't hurt your pizza. It costs a fraction. Well, he made this thing, and then he thought, well, I can't put that in there. It's not really hygienic. And so, because even if he didn't like ruined pizzas, he didn't like unhappy customers, he lives to feed people. That's his joy, his cooking. So he went to a plastics manufacturer in his town, and he asked them how much. And they said, well, how many do you want? He says, why? He says, well, because if you want one, it's going to cost you $300 because we've got to make the mold. And if you want 1,000, they're going to be, $3 a piece because the plastic's cheap, practically give it away, but the mold costs the money. And if you want 1,000,000 of them, you can have them for like next to nothing a piece. Well, he didn't want 1,000,000, so he got like 10,000. He's using them, and the word got around in all the other shops in his area. They wanted them, and so he was selling them to them, and pretty soon it's every shop in the entire state. And he had enough because that's not his business. He likes to cook, so he got a firm that does marketing and a firm that does fulfillment and a firm that does promotion. And he gets a royalty, gets a really hefty check every single month. He's changed the world, folks. It may not sound like much. It's just pizza. But do you know how many tons and tons and tons of wasted food every week aren't wasted now? Do you know how many dollars that people spend on their pizza wasted now? Do you know how many businesses that are operating on a slim profit margin, and restaurants and food businesses operate on a very slim profit margin, that stayed in business because their profit margin was just fat enough to be able to make payrolls, pay all their bills, and still have a little bit left over? That's a force multiplier. And every one of you might be a force multiplier. You might have that really simple, I've never done this before, why don't we do this? That can change everything. Because we cannot keep going down this path the way we're going.
And I just want to bring in an article that I know that Cindy is not here, but she's here in spirit. And she also sent me an article from Facebook. She says, please put this link in chat for me. And then also it will be on her Facebook page where people can get the link. But it's about Glenn Beck, and it puts, Glenn Beck has been co-opted by the left. And I'm just reading this article. It's from Survivor Joe's Family Preparedness blog. So it's survivaljoe.net. And this is an article that Cindy sent me, I guess, in with our topic here. Tonight, or part of our topic tonight. And the article reads that we can bring on this, and I know what, remember your comments you said earlier tonight about with Glenn Beck, but I'm just told Cindy I would do this, and so here I go. It says, on this national syndicated talk show, Glenn Beck has been warning his viewers not to jump on Cleveland Bundy's side so quickly. Beck agrees that the government owns far too much land in the West and is quick to admit that the BLM overstepped its bounds. At the same time, he claims that siding with the Bundys and the militia is tantamount to being the right version of Occupy Wall Street, he says. We did some research online with PsyID today, Beck said on his show, and found out there's about 10 or 15% of the people who are talking about this online that are truly frightening. There are many decent small government proponents from groups like the Tea Party supporting Bundy, Beck continued, and they should be aware this controversy has drawn violent anti-government groups. Bundy has, of course, maintained since the beginning of the federal government's request for fees paid for the privilege of using, quote, federal land for his cattle to graze on, it's unconstitutional. His refusal stems from the belief that the sovereign state of Nevada and its land are not part of federal property, and no such fees shall be paid to the BLM, the Obama administration, or any entity other than the state of Nevada. Tucker Carlson expressed similar, Tucker Carlson expressed sentiments similar to Beck. I have not a lot of sympathy for the Bundys. I think they were completely mistreated by the federal government, but I still think it's important to point out that this land does not belong to them, and that's not a minor distinction. It's the essence of private property. Since history proves that both he and Beck are wrong, in Supreme Court case Pollard-Lessie versus Hagen, which ruled on the 1845, it was shown that states that were added to the Union after the original 13 colonies were afforded the same protection under the law as the colonies. As the Supreme Court ruled in this case, to Obama, Alabama belongs the navigable waters and soil under them, and controversy in this case, subject to the rights surrendered by the Constitution to the United States, and no compact that might may be made between her and the United States could diminish or enlarge these rights. This same ruling, by extension, applies to Nevada, as well as the land Bundy ranches on, which unfortunately Beck and Carlson leave them with a bunch of opinions that are not based on historical facts. And thank you, Cindy, for sending that to us, and there you go.
It's a good point. You know, what she says is that Glenn Beck's gone over to the dark side, no longer interested in exposing the nasty truth. And you know what I'm wondering? I don't know. As I said, I'm willing to give Beck some time and see if he vets his own work and admits that either it really wasn't a danger or that it was a really great idea, assuming that things work out well. One never knows until it actually happens. But I'm thinking about somebody like Bill O'Reilly, who used to be like the favorite because this guy really told everybody the way it was. And then bit by bit, it seemed like he wasn't. And, you know, folks,
right.
I think what happens is that people get comfortable. And as I said, they get used to things. Maybe they're in an echo chamber where everybody around them is saying the same stuff and they begin to be convinced. And I'm not willing to give up on them. What's more, they don't have to be perfect in my book. As long as what they're doing moves us towards a constitutional government. You can dislike me. If you're willing to work for the Constitution, I won't hold it against you. Too bad, okay? You can not come to American Spring, although I wish you would, and I'm not going to call you names. If you're doing something, anything, that's moving us in the right direction, that goalpost, then I'm happy. And not just because we need to attack on all fronts and tie up the resources of the elites who would be our kings, who would rule us. And that's what it does, by the way. It ties them up. They are not everywhere. They don't have everything. They can't do everything. So when you engage them, I'm involved right now currently in a peripheral manner with another lawsuit. This is not the first one. Involving the state of Pennsylvania and unions through a different means. And it's not entirely public, but I'll be happy to share it with people on another show when we get some results. And it's not a direct attack on – it's not getting someone impeached, but what it is doing is tying up their resources. It's hard for them to mess with people when they're busy. And it's hard for them to stay on their message and keep their plans going when their plans keep getting derailed. And this is a goal line stand. For those people like football, this is a goal line stand right now. The other side, the ones who would rule us, are on our goal line. They've got inches to go. What we must do this year is hold them and push them back. And you don't know where your effort is going to have fruit. You could be standing up there on an overpass holding a sign and reach that one person, and it could be that last straw that finally gets them to go, oh, geez, you know, I've been thinking about this. I think I'll do something. Or they'll go to the site, and there are, you know, on Facebook, for instance, or not on Facebook, there's sites for Overpass and other groups that you'll find information not only about the specific topic, but people post related topics, and all of a sudden it catches fire in your imagination, and you start being active and involved. And you might do that. You might never even know that you've done that. That person could drive on after honking their horn, and you don't know that you've just changed somebody, and they're going to be the next winning Senate candidate for your state that's going to change everything, or that they're going to come up with some great idea of their own or lend their support at the critical time and place that's required. You can't know these things. But this creativity, this push is important. What's more, you can't really know which of these is going to win. I mean, there's some things that seem like obvious wins. The vast majority of the American public is not pro-abortion. And yet, even though the states have been moving away from abortions, from murders, in my view, on a constitutional basis, I'll leave the religion out of it, we still have it, and they're spending more money on this, and the federal government and Obamacare are making it more accessible, more millions of children just snuffed out before they even have a chance at life with no due process. Why hasn't that one hit? Why last year did a TV show about a bunch of guys who might or might not be real standing in the middle of the swamp with some big beards suddenly catch fire, convince how many people that it was worth fighting for your right to worship and speak as you wanted? How many people decided that they were no longer going to spend their money at this fast food place or that fast food place that supports progressive causes, but instead would be eating Chick-fil-A? You can't predict these things, folks. So what you do may be the most important thing of all. 20 years from now, assuming that America is still a country that isn't ruled by this cadre of experts who will control what the history books write, 20 years from now, they may be writing a story about you and how you made the one contribution that changed everything. And if you don't do anything, they may not be writing at all. It may be, yes, and our grand and glorious leader entered his third term. And, you know, then of course, one of his daughters will have to take over because we're a monarchy.
Right.
And nothing against
them.
I'm sure they're fine young ladies.
Sometimes.
Yeah. As I was saying, nothing against them. I'm sure they're fine young ladies. They're just kids. I am not attacking their kids. I'm not attacking the president's family. I feel sorry for their family values, apparently, because judging from his actions in his public life, I can't imagine his private life would be any better. And for those who say that we should not judge, oh, we should not judge. Thankfully, I cannot know the content of your heart. And thankfully, I don't believe the NSA even has the ability to read the content of your mind. I can know the content of your character as evidenced by your actions, nothing more and nothing less. I expect, in my religious belief, that God will judge me, and there's nothing that can be hidden from God. But I know that my public life, what people know about me, is something that's worthy of being judged. I do great at some things. I'm not so great at others, and I fail. And I have no problem with people knowing that, and neither should you, with your own lives. Because whether you know it or not, people are judging you. And right now, I'm judging you. I'm judging, based on your actions, whether you are committed to having liberty. And I'm upset with you. I have a daughter. Bob has a daughter. Barbara has two kids in college. Okay? Cindy has kids. We have loved ones that we don't want to see suffer. And we require you to get off your behind and start doing something, because if you do nothing, you're responsible for making this happen, for making these bad things occur, for allowing them to occur to my family. I'm not going to accept that, so I'm not giving you a pass. And the only thing that you need to do to gain my acceptance, more than that, my help, I'll help you in any way I possibly can, and so will so many other people. The only thing you need to do is join us, and you don't have to join us in any specific way. This is not a cult. This is not a religion. You don't have to dress a certain way or behave a certain way. If you're black or white, if you're gay or straight, if you're religious or non-religious, it's fine. You don't have to change a darn thing about that. You don't even have to pick one of the issues that I'm involved with. Well, that's most of them. But you have to pick one, and you have to start working on it. And you have to be serious about this. And you have no choice, because the only choice is you're either going to do that where you're going to allow these people to take full control. They've got a lot of control now and ruin it for all of us. And I will hold you responsible. What's more, you'll hold yourself responsible. What's worse, you'll be looking into the eyes of your child or your grandchild, and they're going to hold you responsible. And they won't even know what it is they missed. They won't have any memory of an America where you could travel freely, where you didn't need to have present documents, assuming that we don't get chips in our hand. And that was no conspiracy theory anymore. It's not science fiction. They want it.
Right.
Companies are doing this. It's real. If you don't get off your butt and do it now, you've got a problem with me.
I'm telling you, folks, you don't want to have a problem with Dan. No.
No, you really don't. I'm a nice guy, but you just ask anybody who's tried it. You really don't want to mess with me.
Well, we didn't want to bring Barbara and Randy back in. If there's anything else you folks would like to add, because we hate to say it, but there's about 20 minutes left of the extended period. It's amazing how quick the shows go, how quick those 3 hours go. And then about 5 till the top of the hour, maybe a little bit even before that, I have to start shutting the show down. So if there's anything else you guys would like to bring in, Randy or Barbara, go ahead.
No, I just totally agree with what was just said. We either have to be part of the solution or we're part of the problem. You know, bad things happen when good people do nothing. So, you know, we just need to guard against that, and everybody can contribute something. Doesn't matter what their condition is. If you're breathing, you can contribute in some small way. You know, just figure it out. I can't do everything.
Well, and we need it. America needs, you know, people's involvement.
We need all of
us. Yes. And Randy, I see you still out there. If there's anything you'd like to add on.
I was amazed today that for once, Debbie Wasserman Schultz said something that I agree with, that the Tea Party won by pulling candidates to the right.
That's a good point.
Say again?
Repeat that.
Yeah, she was trying to make a snide remark, but she said the Tea Party actually won because all the candidates had to run to the right.
Right, and I'm sure they did run to the right, but my concern is while they, you know, ran to the right, and they do this all the time, then once they're reelected or elect, they seem to scoot themselves back to the middle.
Or
so,
jump to the left.
Oh, yeah, good point. Or even as far off as going to the left. And so, yeah, while they do it all the time, and what frustrates the heck out of me is that people are continually, and this, you know, and you make a good point, Dan, you know, you don't think they're stupid. I did use the word dumb, but I mean, it's easy to do. We heard in that movie, stupid is as stupid does, but I know I'm being critical. I mean, I shouldn't be so critical, but it's like, you know, really, I mean, we know they do this. We know politicians. We know, you know, the Republicans have been in there for quite some time, including McConnell. We know they do this. We know they run from the right, but then they move back to the center as soon as they're reelected. I mean, but we know this, and yet it seems to work for them over and over and over again.
Well, sure. Politics is a very simple game. It's not as complex as people think. And it works no matter what party you are, no matter whether you're honest or not. It's a specific set of tasks that work with human beings in terms of convincing them to act or not act. One of the advantages that I have when I'm speaking is that my father schooled me in classical rhetoric, Greek and Roman rhetoric, when I was very, very young. It was difficult when I was young, but it's a big advantage because these are tools. If you read a lot, if you read the great works, you'll see what works because it lasted. And I'm not inventing anything. This is what works. Come up with something that works. You use it. Our patriot candidates some of them are good at it, and some of them are just learning this. And it's a good thing that they're learning it, but they have to learn it quicker, and they need people's help. The biggest thing that they need, I mean, Pennsylvania, we had our primary. Now it's for the general election. We've got third-party candidates. But the biggest thing, if you want to get patriotic candidates, liberty candidates elected, is they need money and workers. And I'm not sure which is more important than the other. Workers get the work done, and there's an awful lot of work. And it is kind of boring, but it needs to get done. Some of it's kind of fun. Phone banks and mailings and door-to-door is the classic political tool that those work. And money in these days makes the biggest difference of all. And I'm not talking bribes, but McConnell had it all over Bevin, and most of these establishment candidates have it all over, because there's a lot of people, as we discussed, who may not be stupid, but they're not educated, and they're subject to being swayed by 30-second ads, especially if they see them all the time. The guy who just won the Democratic vote here in Pennsylvania in the primary, a guy named Wolf, had more money by far. He even beat a woman named Margolis Mezvinsky, who is going to be a grandmother soon, at the same exact moment that Hillary Clinton becomes a grandmother, because her son married Chelsea Clinton. So it's kind of a dynasty, and she lost. And this is with the Clintons' help, because the other guy had more money. And this is on the Democratic side. And remember, Hillary Clinton was pretty popular on the Democratic side here in Pennsylvania when she ran in 2008. Very popular, because people didn't know who she really was. Classical things work. So, yeah, you might invent a new thing, and I'm welcoming that. And there's a lot of room for these new ideas, but if you don't have the new idea, that doesn't mean that you haven't contributed. If you can give money, pick the right place and make that money count. It helps. And if you don't have money, which most of us don't, if you're interested in the serious political side of things, and that's just as valid or more so, I won't argue with those people who say that American Spring is not getting out the vote and it's not getting people elected. You're right, it's not. It's part of the process, part of the fight. I think it's a very important fight, or I wouldn't be involved in it. However, it's not the only part, and getting people elected is crucial. The way to do that is to get involved with a campaign. And you can canvass. You can go door to door. The most important thing that Organizing for America, which is Obama's political arm, did was, besides the voter fraud, is the getting out the vote effort. And that's what they did. They knew who these voters were. They knew where they lived. They knew they were going to be voting. They said they were going to be voting. They didn't say, are you going to vote? They said, what time of day would you like to vote? We'll call and remind you. Do you need a ride to the poll? You know, back when I was a boy, and this is going way back, this is when Johnson and Nixon were president. Okay. I mean, I remember Kennedy, but I wasn't quite old enough. My mom happened to be a Democratic committee woman in Philadelphia. And there were plenty of Democrats back then who, this was before the progressives took over that party, who were patriotic and believed in the Constitution. And she was either a judge of elections or a poll watcher or politically active as a committee woman the whole time until she passed away. And one of the jobs she had for me, she'd get me off from school because it was kind of like homework. I would help little old ladies to the polls. And it was really cool. I mean, except for the jar of the really horrible old hard candies with the cat hair and the dust on them that you had to have one. Seriously, at the end of the day, they all had one. But I would go and help a Democratic woman to walk the blocks or two blocks or three blocks to get to the polling place, and I'd walk her back home. Then my mom, being fair, would have me go to a Republican woman's house, an old lady, and walk her to the polls. And I just, all day long, that's all I was doing, was going back and forth and back and forth. Some of them were very generous, and they would give me a dime or a penny. It was very nice. I had a little pocketful of change at the end of the day, but those were tips. I didn't charge a thing. But that did make a difference, because guess what? They might not have voted. It was very difficult for them to get around. They didn't necessarily own cars, and for some of us, especially when we get older, it's difficult to to get out of the house, and they might need a little help. There are a lot of people who just need a reminder. I mean, let's face it, there's games on TV. There's Game of Thrones on TV. There's all kinds of fun stuff to do.
Well, and, I record it. I don't ever watch it when it's long.
Well, that's what you might suggest to them is if they have objections, perhaps you might record your show and come vote. And here's who we would like you to vote for, and here's why. Here's some information about the other side, the other candidate. Here's some information about our candidate. And here are some independent sources that you can check out yourself. You know, the sad thing is that unlike Harriet, most people won't check out the sources. They'll just take your word for it if you sound credible. That's a sad thing, and that's something that I really don't think is a very good thing in America these days. But it's a fact, and you might as well take advantage of the facts. If your candidate loses, maybe they did make a difference by changing the tone and moving everything in the correct direction. And I don't mean right, the proper, honest direction. A number of candidates that I'm personally friends with did not win, but took significant parts of the vote, which means they now have name recognition. And while they didn't win, they now have a little bit more free time to be involved in other ways as well. And it's a gradual, ongoing process. But when things change, they can change in a hurry. And that can be for bad. Everybody's been talking about how bad things could be if all of a sudden they decide they're going to declare martial law and have some sort of false flag incident somewhere and crack down, put all those laws that they've written that are unconstitutional into effect. But it can work the other way, folks. We could take back this country 2 years. I think we'd better. And within 5 years, if we remove the unnecessary regulations and restrictions on human liberty, we can restore prosperity. 7 years, less than two presidential terms from now, America could be vastly different in a much better or a much worse way. But it's not going to stay the same.
Well, look how quickly things went under Obama.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And look how quickly that things improved under Reagan.
Right.
Dan, if I
very
could.
Good point.
Yes, yes, Randy.
Certainly.
Back when I did my turn as election judge, I was helping a blind lady cast her ballot, and I really had to keep my tongue in check as I helped her vote for Mr. Mondale for president.
Oh, man.
You helped her with the free exercise of her franchise.
Right.
That's which is beautiful. Absolutely,
and she cast an honest ballot.
That's all we can ask. You know, I remind all you folks out there who think that you're not going to be worried about it you're not a Tea Party guy or a Patriot girl or whatever. IRS is not only targeting, and it continues to target, Patriots who are opposed to unconstitutional acts. They targeted True the Vote. True the Vote is nonpartisan. It's not bipartisan. They have no party. And they work solely to make certain that every single person who's entitled to vote gets their vote and that it counts, and to make certain that the votes are accurately tallied and that nobody else who's not entitled to vote gets to vote. That's the extent of what they do. It doesn't matter who wins, as long as it's a free and fair election. It's not that the individuals don't care. That's what their organization is based on. That's like Randy making sure that this woman who just didn't have sight was able to vote for the candidate of her choice, even if it was Walter Mondale. And that's fine. And if you think that they're only going to come after, well, okay, the ones who oppose them and the ones who might possibly cause them trouble, I remind you that every single regime in this world that's ever gone down this path, whether it was supposedly political or whether it was just dictatorship or whether it was kings, whenever they seize power to a point where they've got all the power, they're jealous of keeping all the power, and they want to make examples of people. The ordinary person in Germany under the Nazis, in Russia under the Soviets, in China under the communists under Mao, believe me, they didn't feel safe. And things like the Cultural Revolution happened where literally millions of people who never were enemies of the state, who never stepped out of line at all, could have and they wanted to restructure things and get even more power and control. So they went after them too. You're not safe, folks, by sitting around and doing nothing. Believe me, even if you're not on a list, you're on a list. You're on a list of potential of the statists. Me personally, I'm doing everything I can to move up in the ranks. I figure, hey, I'm already on the list. Might as well be up as high as I can. It's kind of a little goal of mine.
Right. The more vocal you are, the the more suspicious it would be if something happened to you.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. Lord, you know, and this is somewhat religious, I suppose, and I apologize to any of the viewers who might be offended if you're not religious. Tough, you know what. You can be as atheist as you like. It doesn't bother me. But I believe that I'm here for a purpose and that I have a free choice that God gave me. And that free choice enables me to decide to do nothing, to do something bad, or to do something good. I've done nothing periods of time in my life. I've done bad when I was a young man. I was not a very nice young fellow at all. I'm kind of a thug. And I choose to do good the best I can, and I'm sure I'm making mistakes every single day. But I choose to because it feels good. It's the right thing to do. It's what I believe he wants me to do. And even if there was no God, it feels good. It's enlightened self-interest. I help someone else. Perhaps they'll help me or not want to hurt me, even if it's just that simple. And as much time as I might have on this earth, I know it's limited. And, folks, we all die. I would hope to be, I'm 53, I'd hope it would be like 30 or 40 years from now, but in my own home with my wife beside me in our own bed. It would be nice if we both passed away within an hour of each other peacefully. If you really, this is the way that everybody really wants it, to surrounded by all our loved ones and friends. That would be great. Now, I don't know if I'm going to die 30 plus 40 years from now or tomorrow. None of us really do. You can't. But I do know that the quality of the life and how you live it matters. And I also know that I'm unwilling to live as a slave on my knees. And I just will not see any of these young people sentenced to that. I have a choice. Some kid, but my kid's an adult almost. Bob's kid's a kid. She has no choice. She can't. These children, they don't have the power to do this. We have to do this for them. If we don't do this for them, we've sentenced them to that terrible life, to that tyranny or that anarchy. We don't want that for them, do we? Don't they deserve a chance?
No, we certainly don't. One thing I'd like to have more of tonight is for a little bit more time for the show, Dan, but unfortunately we don't have that. We only got about less than 6 minutes left of the even the extended period of the show, so I want to thank everyone for coming on tonight. Normally we would have some time where we'd like to do some parting comments, and we have about three of us on the phone besides us two, Dan, so we'll have, or two of us, so we'll just give about 30 seconds for those. If they have any parting comments they'd like to make tonight, and then I'll have to close things out. So we'll go with you, Randy, and then you, Barbara, and then I'll have to close things out. So go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, I'll be real quick with a short introduction here.
Yeah, short 30 seconds last comments for tonight.
I'll make it shorter than that. Did you guys hear about the politician who threw himself to the ground and missed? Good night.
Thank you very much for coming to the show, and hope to hear from you again. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I just want to say quickly that, again, in case anyone missed it, what a privilege it was to be at Operation American Spring. And I would certainly recommend it and tell everyone to go if you could possibly get there, even for a day. It's just a really uplifting experience to be around that many patriotic people in such a beautiful place. It's totally safe. So just do it.
Yeah, great, and I'm looking forward to if we would still be able to get down there. It won't be until July, but it'd still be nice to get down there. So go ahead, Dan, if about 30 seconds, and I'll have to close things out.
Since the topic of the show was Operation American Spring, I'll just return to that and just remind everybody exactly what this is one more time. It is a grassroots, non-controlled, nonpartisan restoration effort for the Constitution. It's a living petition, an ongoing event. It's going to be every single day, simply requesting our representatives to step down if they will not adhere to their oath that they took to the Constitution, calling them criminals and asking for them to be removed from office by legitimate and legal means if they have abridged and abrogated that oath to the Constitution, which is the law of the land, and plea for commitment. Commitment to what made this country great and can make us great again, and the only thing that can save us, the only thing that ever mattered in this world that made freedom last, was adherence to the Constitution, because that paper with those great ideas has no power of its own without us backing it up.
Very well said, Dan. And if you are going to go to D.C., why not go with a Go Sun stove, which is powered by the sun, so no fuel would be necessary to take. And you can get a Go Sun stove by going to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Check it out on the sponsor and affiliate page, and that is the Go Sun Solar Stove. And I want to thank everyone for coming on tonight. Look forward to seeing folks again next Wednesday on the 28th. We may have Mr. Strange on that Dan was talking about earlier, about the SEAL Team 6, or if he's not on next week, we may have Governor for the Libertarian Party, or running for the Governor for the Libertarian Party in Pennsylvania. So we'll have either one of those two on next week. So I will end tonight, as I do every night, and that is with the song by Aubrey Ashburn, where you can hear more from music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. So thank you very much, everyone. Have a good night, and we'll see you next time. Take care.